scratch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It is going to happen. It is going to happen. There's no possibility that it will not happen.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Go interview that guy who's almost falling asleep on top of the stairs.
Which one?
The guy who's falling asleep on top of the stairs.
That guy?
Yep.
I don't want to. I don't.
Go, dude. Go.
Excuse me. Can I ask you a quick question? How many years do you think it takes to succeed in show business? Thank you very much.
He's dreamy. That plush head of hair, his Adonis-like physique. Oh, what I'd do for one serving of that man ass.
And now,
what is the future for the young generation?
What is the future for the young generation, Rodney?
Oh, I'm supposed to answer.
I don't know.
Well, the future is keep your radios.
Our feature presentation.
All right, keep your radios. Good advice, Rodney. Thank you very much. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Thursday, the 24th of September. Hey, Ellie McKay.
Hey, Bean. How are you?
Just taking a look at the texts that we got in from yesterday's show and until now.
Mm-hmm.
You can always text the show anytime you want at the number 2, KROQ 25767. And we were doing that phone topic about people who have had sex in public places.
Yeah.
And we got this text from the 714. The highlight of my boys' days is to listen to the Kevin and Bean Show, but they know that I will change the station if you guys are covering anything inappropriate, which is honestly often. Today we got in the car, and the first thing they hear is, you had sex in a public place. Call now. I turned off the radio without missing a beat. My 10-year-old yells, oh, no, this is a colossal disaster. That's an awesome 10-year-old.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh. You're changing changing everybody's language.
We are making perhaps too many impressions on young minds, and I don't know that we are up for the responsibility of that. Anyway, we've got a great show planned for you today. We will do the very best we can to not spoil Empire for anybody who didn't stay up late enough to see it last night. But it was bananas, wasn't it?
It was real good.
Bananas.
I see what you did there. Bananas.
What did I do there?
Nothing. Just kidding.
Wait, what did you see?
Well, at the beginning, who ate a banana in a cage?
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that.
All right, moving
on. I guess I haven't committed every scene to memory like you have.
I have.
You probably watched it all night long just on a loop,
notes.
Right?
I love it.
Here's a story I want to get started with, and I saw this over the weekend, and I have resisted bringing it in because I keep anticipating any minute now there's going to be some sort of an update, but apparently this is going to be a mystery for life. Perhaps you heard about this. 3 miles off the coast of Newport Beach over the weekend, a pair of kayakers are out, and they hear a woman screaming for help around 10 a.m. She is a 28-year-old, completely nude woman in the water, 3 miles off the shore. Okay?
What?
No boat, no flotation device, no bathing suit. She is completely naked. She told the Harbor Patrol deputies, by the way, before I go any further in this story, women lie. We all know that, right? There's no question about that.
Jeez.
Man, can they lie. Boy, is it hard for them to tell the truth. So we know that this woman is lying.
Okay.
But what is she lying about? How much of her story is even remotely possible? The woman told the Harbor Patrol deputies that she had been in the water since the night before.
Wow.
Now, this is 10 a.m. She said that she was swimming around 5:30 the night before near 19th Street when a rip current swept her out. Newport Beach lifeguards, by the way, say that it's impossible for a rip current to pull a woman 3 miles into the ocean. Usually such currents dissipate 50 to 200 feet out. Even in the most extreme surf, they only pull for about 500 feet. So she's 3 miles from the shore, and she says rip current, okay?
Okay.
Clearly lie number one. She also says she had been in the water for 16 hours, yet had no signs of any kind of hypothermia. That's what, when the rescue boats were called, they fully anticipated that that was going to be their biggest problem, was making sure this woman was stable because of that long in the ocean. She was completely fine. So clearly she hadn't been in the water for 16 hours. That's lie number two. Allie, you may be asking yourself, why is she naked?
Why is she naked?
She says she took off her swimsuit so it wouldn't restrict her in her abilities to swim.
That is one heck of a swimsuit she was wearing. Wow.
A spokesperson for the Newport Beach Police and Fire Department said officials checked the woman's story to make sure they hadn't actually overlooked her on Saturday night. But there was a lifeguard stationed near the 19th Street at 5:30 Saturday, and they never saw her go into the water. Nobody else saw her go into the water. They couldn't find her belongings that she said she left on the beach. And they certainly would have been there, I would imagine, unless it's a coincidence that somebody came along and stole all of her stuff while she was out in the water. Look, I know you guys always make fun of me for needing more information. This is a story that requires some details, right?
Is it possible she's a mermaid and can't say it? Because she had just turned into a human and she has to keep that secret?
I think that's an excellent guess.
Thank you.
I think that is probably what's going on here. But maybe she was on a boat with a boy that she can't reveal for reasons
having an affair with the CEO of a company?
Right.
Okay.
That's my first thought. And somehow either there was an accident or worse, she got pushed off. She's naked. She's in the water. The boat's gone. I mean, look.
3 miles out.
3 miles.
Miles.
Yeah. See, this isn't swimming. This is boating at this point. You're out there on purpose if you're out there 3 miles.
Yeah.
So she has not been identified. But if you know any naked 28-year-old girls, you know, send them our way. We'd like to question them. But please let there be a follow-up on this story.
There has to be. They can't just leave that.
Yeah. I got too many questions. All right. Let's talk about today's all-new show for a Thursday.
So you are looking forward to this.
I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to it.
That sounds about right. Got a brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup for you coming up in just about 20 minutes or so. The great Rob Lowe on the show today. Boy, is he a fine actor, and he seems like a nice man. And it's remarkable when you look at how unattractive he is that he's able to develop such a good personality and so much skill with how much he has been made fun of his whole life for just being ugly.
It's hard to look at him. I could barely get through the show.
He is back on TV with a new show called The Grinder we want to tell you about. Jim Rome on the program today talking about all things sports. Dr. Drew stops by like you do on Thursday. We'll take your calls with what's good. And I'm very excited about what potentially could be a painful 20 minutes on the Kevin Bean show later, which is you were betrayed by a friend or family member. Ralph told us yesterday about the Ryan Reynolds story about one of his best friends from childhood selling him out to make a little money off of cash from photos of Ryan's kid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a knife to the heart right there.
That's real low.
You think you know someone. So anyway, we're looking for your stories of betrayal on the program later on this morning. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. That's coming up next, right after this on K-Rock.
I'm so tired. I'm slapping.
Oh, I got the slap.
I got the slap. It's too early for me.
I don't like to work.
The show.
Oh.
Well, Ralph, not my fault.
It is your fault. I appreciate you, Ralph, being awake and alert and alive and here to look at our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning.
Easy. I am one of those things.
And just barely.
I'll let you pick which one. Hey, before we get to the Showbiz news, how about I give you early risers a little something-something? You know, we give away stuff all morning long here on the show, and I feel bad for sometimes the people who are just getting up right now at the ass crack of dawn, just, you know, getting their first shot. Just to get going, that shot of vodka, you know, the one that wakes you up?
Sure.
You know the one you all do? Is that just me? So let's give you something to make it worth your while. How about some passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of The Martian?
Yay!
It's happening at AMC Century City Theater on September the 29th. The Martian, of course, is Matt Damon. Dude, it's so weird, you know. He's an astronaut, and then they find out he's a Martian afterwards.
You'd think
NASA would have some sort of protocol where they could find out that the astronauts they were sending into space were at least human beings. Look, I try to be as tolerant as the next person, but what happens to our space programs when we start sending Martians into space with human beings?
On Mars. That's why they call him the Martian, because he's the only person living on Mars while he's waiting to be rescued.
Okay, Bean. See, it's this kind of this kind of naivete that leads Martians to get into our space program.
They got to.
And then what's next, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
Not my fault.
Anyway, The Martian is opening up in theaters everywhere on October the 2nd, but you will get to see it early and be the envy of all your friends. if you call me right now, 1-800-520-1067.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
That's the number I just said, Doto. First five callers through at that phone number, we get a pair of passes to see The Martian. Matt Damon, Jessica Chastain, Kristen Wiig, Jeff Daniels, Kate Mara, and many, many, many other stars. This is a pretty cool film.
Yeah.
And we're giving you free tickets because that's how we roll. And this is how Donald Trump rolls. A lot of people were surprised yesterday by his announcement via Twitter that he's never going to go on Fox News again. Well, that's going to make things a little difficult for you, Donald. Here's what he tweeted. Fox News has been treating me very unfairly, and I therefore decided I won't be doing any more Fox shows for the foreseeable future.
It's not smart.
He is off Fox, man. Whatever. Republicans don't need Fox, right? Oh, wait a minute.
They are the most popular news channel in America, and it seems like they could do him a lot of benefit if he would play nice.
Why did he choose to feel this way, you may ask?
Why did he choose to feel that way, I'm asking, Ralph?
Well, Fox News said in a statement, at 11:45 a.m. today, we canceled Donald Trump's scheduled appearance on The O'Reilly Factor on Thursday, which resulted in Mr. Trump's subsequent tweet about his boycott of Fox News.
Why did they cancel him?
It does not say here why. But
I would, I would be surprised that somebody would cancel Donald Trump if they didn't have to, because he's ratings gold every time he's on.
Mm-hmm. Good question. The statement goes on, and this makes me laugh. The press predictably jumped to cover his tweet, creating yet another distraction from any real issues that Mr. Trump might be questioned about. Did the press do that, Fox News? That damn press. When coverage doesn't go his way, he engages in personal attacks on our anchors and hosts, which has grown stale and tiresome. He doesn't seem to grasp that candidates telling journalists what to ask is not how the media works in this country. Is this happening in a schoolyard? Are these people arguing in junior high school? What's happening here?
I wonder if he's trying to put restrictions on his interview, saying, I'll come on, but you can't talk to me about A, B, and C. I wonder if that's what the problem is.
Don't talk to me about facts or plans.
Right.
Or things.
Leave Donald Trump alone.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize how strongly you felt.
Sit down.
In the world of romance, Usher and his longtime girlfriend, Grace Miguel, are married.
Aww.
The pair secretly wed before hopping a plane to Cuba for their honeymoon over the Labor Day weekend. So congratulations to Usher. What do you call the people who stand up for Usher at a wedding who help people to their seats? That must be so confusing. Who are you? I'm the Usher. Well, no, he's Usher. I'm an Usher. I'm not the Usher. Bride side or groom side? Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Kevin Sorbo is 57 years old today. Disappointed!
That's my favorite.
It's pretty good. Nina Vardalos. She's from my big, fat, sweaty Greek...
Nothing sweaty's
prep
in there.
Cook.
That's her.
Greek wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
53 years old today. Joe Green, former NFL player. Hey, Mean Joe! Can I have your jersey? Remember that commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah. 69 years old today. And from the WWE, Stephanie McMahon. She's 39 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, from actor Rob Lowe on the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ. Thanks for tuning in here on a Thursday morning. The internet is a thing that we enjoy, right, Allie?
Absolutely. Love it.
That's why we have a feature that we do every week called the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Wake up! And watch the Internet Roundup!
Yeah!
Got a great batch for you this week. Unfortunately, King of Mexico, who usually co-hosts this segment with me, is still asleep because that's how he rolls. There's one that we don't have audio for that you really ought to watch, which is a baby trying to walk a bulldog.
Oh.
And the dog weighs 80 pounds.
Uh-oh.
And the kid, the little kid, who's a year old, I think, cannot get this dog to move. And I got to give it up for him how hard he tries to get this dog to move. I mean, he just pulls on that leash as hard as his little hands will help him. And the dog just stands there and stares at him. And eventually the kid just falls down. It's very, very funny. Although anytime a little kid falls down, I'm amused. Here's my favorite video of the whole week, though, and you owe it to yourself to watch the whole thing. We all agree that the Boston, Massachusetts accent is a pretty thing, right?
This one takes it to a level that I'm not sure I ever needed to hear.
He is out. He's out fishing, and he sees something in the water that he alternately describes as a whale, and at one point he thinks it's a shark. It actually turns out to be a sunfish, but he is amazed by it, and his enthusiasm does not flag over the course of like 7 minutes. He's amazed at this fish that's around the boat. We're just going to play a tiny portion of it, but it'll give you an idea what you get if you go to the video.
Jay, that's a tuna or something. Jay, look at it. Come on.
It looks like a flounder with the fins.
Oh, man. Jay, let's pull it in, Jude. Look at that thing. Oh, my God. Holy Oh, my God, man. We are seeing some we ain't never seen before.
He just goes on and on and on. And he's so profane, too.
Come on, Jay.
Fish.
Jay.
Poor Jay. I wanted Jay to push him off the boat, didn't
like
you?
20 seconds in. Absolutely. Yeah. Jay's a saint.
Yesterday was the first day of autumn, and that means for many people, the pumpkin spice lattes at Starbucks. Here's a video of people trying the latte for the first time and giving their honest reactions to them.
Do you think it smells like weed? It smells like weed.
Yeah, maybe that's why everyone likes it.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Ooh. Ah.
Oh, I like that, actually.
I want it like by a fire and like a bearskin rug.
To me, this is what pumpkin tastes like.
I don't taste pumpkin.
Could you have this every day?
No, I feel like a lard ass.
The Honest Trailers guys are back. We got two videos in the roundup this week. One is there's a new Peter Pan prequel that's coming out in theaters. So the Honest Trailers folks thought it would be cool to go back to one of the early Peter Pan movies from the 1950s. And boy, when you look at it through modern eyes, that is a creepy, creepy story. Listen up.
And join the Lost Boys, an all-male group of motherless furries who live underneath a tree that is clearly still used for hanging people.
Hangman's tree.
This is a kid's story, right?
Want to hear about the time I cut off Hook's hand and threw it to the crocodile?
It is very dark, I'm telling you what. They did a great job, too, with the Furious 7 movie. Now, I have not been as addicted to this franchise as some people have, but these movies are absurd, right?
Yeah.
These Fast and Furious movies?
Absolutely.
And Honest Trailers does a great job of pointing that out with a new one.
He's the man with the plan, even if the plan is incredibly stupid, like driving headfirst into a car, driving headfirst off a cliff, driving headfirst into a car again, or driving headfirst off a parking garage. You'll begin to wonder if it was repeated head trauma that gave him his trademark mumble growl.
How about you just ride on this one? Now you know I can't do that.
Oh. We see a lot of these videos that are movie supercuts where they take, out of 100 movies, they get all the people dancing and cut them together real quick. This one is one of the greatest that I have ever seen like that. They have put together a phone call between people over decades of movies who are on the phone. And you saw this one, right, Alan?
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
It's brilliant. Here's just a tiny taste of it, but you can see the whole thing in the Internet Roundup.
Hello.
Hello.
Who's there? I'm talking. Hello.
Hello. Who is this?
You know what this is.
This is Jason Bourne.
Wait a minute. Give me somebody else.
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
Can you bring me my chopstick?
Negative.
It's so good. Watch that video. Got a couple of videos. If you like little kids in your videos, here's a 6-year-old girl who's trying to comfort her mom and give her counsel after her mom has announced that she and her dad and the little girl's dad are going to be divorced. But, it doesn't have to be sad. There could be some life lessons learned. This little kid is just trying to pump mom up.
And if we live in a world where everyone's being mean, everyone's going to be a monster in their future. What if? If there's just a little bit of persons and we will eat them, then no one will ever be here.
Oh, she's doing her very best to cheer up mom, isn't
she? She is the cutest thing in the world. And she dropped some knowledge in that video.
She really does, man. Smart little girl.
Yeah.
And here's another one who's a little kid who's about to be a flower girl at a wedding. And she's trying to counsel her dad about the way to behave at a wedding. Because apparently, according to her, you don't understand weddings at all, Dad. She's very funny, too.
What if I just yell, princess?
Dad, there's going to be a bunch of people sitting and then they're just going to hear us. And they're going to be like, why are you doing that? That was a dumb person. You do not understand what at all.
The Emmys were Sunday night. Jimmy Kimmel sent his man Guillermo to do interviews, and they do something called the back-to-back interviews, where they literally are sitting in chairs back-to-back and looking at each other through mirrors, and Guillermo interviews all the big Emmy winners. It's a really good piece, and I think in this clip we've got him talking to Allison Janney, who's telling him that her Spanish was not good enough on the TV show, and they cut it out, and then he's trying to have sex with Amy Schumer, because that's how Guillermo rolls. It's very funny.
Por favor, no, no digas nada a la inmigración.
Your Spanish sounds like my English.
Very bad. Did it sound bad? Did it sound bad? A little bit.
Don't worry. You're so very handsome. We can just go over here and have sex.
I guess we have to do sex then, huh?
Wait, it says that we have sex, but for real. That's not, Guillermo, I'm not.
No?
No, I'm not falling
All
for
right.
that again. Nice
no.
try.
All right, let's do the second thing.
Okay.
All right.
Guillermo is awesome, by the way. And finally, Justin Timberlake stopped by the Late Night Show with Seth Meyers and pitched him a late night theme song that he had written. And I think Seth was suspicious of it.
On every night at 11:30, hosted by your number one guy, it's J to the I to the MMY. When it comes to talent, he's got 10 gallons. It's Late Night with Seth Meyers.
What do you think?
I think you wrote it for Jimmy Fallon.
What? What makes you say that?
Well, you said it's on every night at 11:30. I'm on at 12:30.
So 11:30 Central Time.
You said he's J to the I to the MMY. That spells Jimmy.
That's an oversight.
You can see all these videos and so much more. Just go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's this week's brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, that means we talk sports with our friend Jim Rome coming up later on, and we talk drugs with our friend Dr. Drew, which I always look forward to. That's on the way, too. Alan, you see this article a couple of days ago? Huffington Post put it up on alternative sports.
I did. I saw extreme ironing, and I was in.
Extreme, I've heard of extreme ironing. Before. Have you?
Yes.
Have you seen that before? Some people iron underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Now, clearly the goal there is not to get your clothes ready to wear if you're ironing underwater. But they iron hanging from cliffs. They iron while skiing. They iron on top of their cars.
I love
extreme it. Extreme ironing is a thing.
Yeah.
And this article is pointing out that there are, you know, we always have these big conversations about what's going to make it into the Olympics. Are sports significant enough and popular enough and competitive enough to make it into the Olympics? This is way down the list of those sports. These are fringe sports, but some of them have been going on forever, like this wife-carrying competition. Every year, I see – my whole life, I see articles on this. This mm-hmm. is the one in Finland where guys race with their wives on their backs.
Yeah.
And it's a tradition in that country that's been going on for years. Chess boxing I've heard of, which is one of the most bizarre things in the world. You sit down and you play chess for a certain amount of time, and then you get up and you box, and then you sit down and you play more chess.
11 rounds of that. That's insane.
It's insane. And what are the chances you're going to find people who are good at chess and good at boxing?
Not great.
Now, there were some on this list I did not know about. Underwater hockey is a thing. Allie, as much as you love hockey, would you at all be interested in seeing underwater hockey?
I'd take a look.
It is also known as Octopush. This sport is played worldwide and involves two teams trying to push a puck using a stick across the floor of a swimming pool into the opposing team's goal. It even has its own world championship. Underwater hockey has been around since 1980.
Who knew?
There's toe wrestling. There's a sport called shin kicking. There's musical canine freestyle, which is one where, and I've seen this one too, this is one where you get up and you sing a song with your dog.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
There's a whole world of sports out there that go beyond football and baseball, and we wanted to find out more about it. We asked producer Dave, who can we talk to? The commissioner of alternative sports is Dr. Frederick McKinney, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, doctor, how are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are fine. Thank you so much.
I'm glad to hear it.
Thank you so much for joining us. So alternative.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here. Really, it is. Because so many of the alternative sports, or as you say, weird sports, just aren't popular because not enough people know about them, don't you know?
Well, look, there was a time where, tennis was brand new.
Right.
Somebody had to invent that, and it took a while for it to get to the point where now it's just accepted. And maybe that's going to be the case with chess boxing and cheese rolling down the road.
That's how we like to feel here at the League of Alternative Sports, where we're constantly coming up with new and exciting games and competitions for people to engage in.
Well, this list from the Huffington Post has 10 of the alternative sports, but you're telling me there are far more even than go beyond this list?
Oh, my goodness. 10. Yes, there's many more. And some are better known than others. Of course, you know, like shin kicking is a huge popular sport. But what about some of the newer sports that people aren't aware of yet?
Okay.
Like, for instance, how about hurling curling?
Hurling curling?
Yes, curling.
It's just like curling where you throw your stone down the ice to try to get it into the center of a circle.
Uh-huh.
But the opposing team puts their finger down their throat and vomits in front of the stone to try to slow it down.
That's disgusting.
What? Hurling what? Curling.
I don't know why they would do that, but okay.
Because
right.
It's a competition, you see.
Competition. Huh. All right. Yeah.
And it takes a lot of skill to be able to vomit with pinpoint accuracy.
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, most people just blah all over the place. But a good hurler curler will be able to just, boom, put it right where he wants it.
Okay, all right, that's good, doctor.
Also, extreme nippling.
Uh-oh.
Nippling?
Yes. It's just like boxing, only you try to subdue your opponent simply by twisting his nipples. Just give him a purple nurple until he hits the ground or taps out.
Now, that game is very popular among five-year-olds, but you're saying even for adults, they're getting into that now.
Oh, adults are the best at extreme nippling. Kids have nothing. Kids, we don't even let kids. There's no little league for extreme nippling. This
okay.
is just for the grown-ups. And
adults
we've got
right?
a brand-new champion, by the way. It's very exciting. He's one of the best nipplers I've ever seen. Brian Long Nips Cantrell is his name. And he's got, it's amazing, these giant pendulous nipples he's got from playing the sport over the years.
Well,
so he's really impressive.
It's like cauliflower ear for UFC fighters,
right.
I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
It's broccoli nipple, we call
okay.
it.
Okay, it's, all right.
Come watch a game and see the broccoli nipple. Also, a very popular sport in Asia is panda punt.
Oh,
I don't like the sound of that, doctor.
Well, it's not what you think it is.
Oh,
good.
It involves kicking a panda as far as you can.
That's exactly what I thought it was.
Oh, my bad. No. I'm sorry. I thought maybe you were confused.
I did think it would be punching, not kicking.
No, panda
so you are
punt,
right. It's not
punt,
what I thought.
Punt. Yeah. Punt.
Okay. Okay.
You take a panda and you punt it.
Yeah.
Why
right.
did you think there'd be punching involved? That
punch.
Would be a different sport called panda punch. That would be
punch.
Different, but panda punt is taking a panda.
Okay.
First of all, the hardest part is finding one because there aren't many around.
Right.
You gotta hunt yourself down a panda.
That's
and then it's the panda hunt and punt, really. And then you take the panda and then you just boot it with a work boot as far as you can.
Oh, I hate that so much.
Oh, but the noise they make is just tragic.
Oh, still, wow. Let's not have that sport continue, doctor. Come on.
Are you familiar with ball?
Ball? No, I'm sorry, I'm not.
Yes, it's where two nude men enter a ring and hit each other in the testicles with an electric fly swatter.
That's another terrible idea for a sport. Nope. You can't. Look, Mumford & Sons stopped with the banjos. You can't now bring somebody else with the banjos.
Someone
right?
has to pick up the mantle.
Well, I thought we were done with the banjo.
No.
I thought the banjo phase was done.
Banjo is never done. Banjo is now and forever. It's like cats.
Young artist named Coleman Hell is the name that he or she is going with, and the song is called Two Heads. Heads.
Nope.
Coleman Hell.
Two eyeballs.
All right. Speaking of music, Ralph,
mm-hmm.
I know this is going to be a tough sell because
mm-hmm.
you have dedicated your life to bringing down the artist that you call Tadolf Swindler.
Yeah. How's that going for me?
So far, I think she's winning, but
right.
I appreciate the fact that you have not given up. So many times, Taylor Swift has come up in the news, and you've been forced to bring her into your showbiz beat, and I've tried to get you to say a nice thing about her. If she's visiting sick kids in the hospital, you figure out a way to turn it into, she's just doing it for the publicity. If she donates a bunch of money to charity, you say the same thing. I mean, I can't get you to say a nice thing about
Taylor
Swift. If
she rips off a trademark, it's because she's a good person.
Well, that wasn't the example I was going to use.
Okay.
So,
hmm.
I have a new approach here. I have the new "Let's get Ralph to say something good about Taylor Swift" approach here, and
uh-huh.
that is that there's a new album out that's a sensation so far. It just came out on Monday, but
uh-huh.
it's number 3 on the iTunes album charts right now,
mm-hmm.
right behind Drake and One Direction. So this is popular
stuff. Good company,
and it's by Bryan Adams.
Now, Bryan Adams. I love Bryan Adams. It was the summer of 69.
Nope. This is Bryan Adams.
Oh.
Very popular singer-songwriter. He's been around for a number of years. And he decided, because he's a huge Taylor Swift fan, he decided to cover her entire 1989 album, her current chart topper. Well, so he did every song on her album he recorded and put out on iTunes.
That seems greedy and lazy.
Well, he was inspired by her. He had a bad breakup with his wife Mandy Moore. Oof. He moved from New York to Los Angeles and was depressed, and there was something about Taylor's album that cheered him up and made him feel connections with those lyrics.
Because he said, I'm a better musician than she is. This makes me feel great.
Well, you tell me. I thought we might listen to a little bit. I got a little less than a minute here of the first song, and then we'll play shorter clips from some of the other.
Let me just get the premise one more time. You're going to show me how great Taylor Swift is by playing me someone else's music.
This is my first step. First step into getting you to admit that Taylor Swift is talented is for you to maybe hear her songs without her on them.
Nice to meet you, baby. I can show you incredible things. Magic, madness, heaven, and sin. Saw you there and I thought, God, look at that face, you look like my next mistake. Love's a game, do you wanna play?
So this is Bryan Adams doing a little bit of Taylor's Blank Space, her number one song from a few months ago. Now, if you heard this on K-Rock, you're driving home from the show today and you heard this on K-Rock, would you listen to it and would you like it?
I would immediately pop a 5-hour energy so I didn't fall asleep behind the wheel.
Allie, how about you? What's your take on Blank Space by Bryan Adams?
It's not for me, Bean. So it's gonna be forever. It's gonna go down in flames. I mean, I'd probably listen to it as I was trying to fall asleep. I think it would be very comforting.
Yeah.
But wait a second. Both of you guys have a soft spot in your heart for singer-songwriters. There must be lots of singer-songwriters out that you would listen to.
I am happy that there's enough echo that I can't make out the lyrics. That's good. That helps me.
All right, so Blank Space, maybe not for you. You're going to say it's going to be a no from you on Blank
Space. That song's
space.
Awful. Done by anyone. It really is. And then saw you, and then I saw me, and then you went to me, and I went to you. Shut up. Oh, dear Lord.
Based on what you've heard, either from me in this conversation or just read over the past couple of weeks, what's your view on what Bryan Adams is doing here? Are you cynical enough to think that this is opportunistic because although he has a strong fan base, he's nowhere near a pop star. Do you think this is a way for him to try to win over a whole bunch of new fans, or do you think he sincerely made this album from an artistic point of view?
Oh, it's a huge money grab.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You don't cover someone else's entire album. It's different doing an album of covers where you take some of your favorite songs to just do track for track someone else's album that was a smash hit. He is absolutely caboosing her train.
See, now, I don't feel that way at all.
Of course you don't.
He seems very – but
he just loves her like I love her. We're all inspired by her.
Everyone should love her. But my point is he seems very sincere, like he was very moved by those songs
and wanted
to express that artistically. No?
No.
Am I naive? Is my head in the sand?
Absolutely. Right, absolutely.
I think you know this one. I think you'll like this one.
Nothing in my brain. That's what people say. That's what people say.
So here's Ryan covering Shake It Off, doing it a little bit like the old Springsteen I'm on Fire. Yeah. Sounds a little bit like that.
That's good. He's ripping off two artists now.
Good.
That's good.
That's what people say. That's what people say. I keep cruising. Can't stop, won't stop moving. It's like I got this music in my mind. It's gonna be
all right, what do you think?
It's even worse if this song is taken seriously.
Really?
It was bad enough when she was doing her goofy dance thing, but when you take it and you try to make it sound like a ballad that means anything, the words "shake it off" just sound even more hollow and pointless.
But you don't think there's room for different interpretations of the same lyrics?
Sure.
I mean, you don't think it becomes a completely different song when it's sung in that style?
It's different, but equally crappy.
Still no. 0-2.
This is not an album. This is a YouTube novelty. This is something you do. It's a one-off. This is a whole album?
Yes, this is every song on the 19. I think there's 14 songs on the album, and he covered them all.
Bean, you truly believe he goes through a divorce, and the album that he clings to, that he says got him through it, is Taylor Swift's? Do you truly, honestly believe that?
Are you asking, is another way of that question asking me if I think Ryan Adams is lying when he says that's what happened?
Yes.
I don't think he's lying.
He needs a convenient reason for why he did this.
Absolutely.
Other than the truth. But of all the music in the world, it's the prepubescent ramblings of a cranky, arrested development pop queen.
Yeah, not Ray LaMontagne. He goes Taylor Swift.
Those are the words and the sounds that got him through his tragedy.
Come on.
Well, Ryan will tell you that she is a musician that he respects because she's a singer-songwriter. I mean, Taylor,
right.
for whatever
reason.
Already
whatever he's lying. About, he's lying already, then.
I mean, she does write all of her own songs.
Great! So does Yoko Ono.
No, but I'm saying she, and like Ryan Adams, though, she sits down with an acoustic guitar and makes up a song. And he respects that because then in that way, at least at that point of the music process, they have the same job. And
I'm tired of the defense of it. She writes her own songs as if everyone who writes their own song somehow has quality. A lot of people write their own songs, and a lot of those songs are crap.
But I think people say that because for those who would lump Taylor in with lots of other pop stars who don't write their own songs, who just are part of a machine and somebody hands them a song and they sing it. I think these songs that Taylor writes are coming from her personal experience. I think she is a more authentic artist than a lot of what else is on the top.
So as an artist, Ryan Adams, who's gone through his own personal pain, has decided not to write his own songs about that pain, but to take it from a girl who has relationship issues, who is young beyond her years.
Look, Ryan, he's a very prolific artist. He'll have two more albums out before the end of the year. But this is something that moved him.
I hope so. Washed this taste out of my mouth.
So you're a yes, then, on the Ryan Adams.
You're missing my point, I think.
My takeaway here is that you love it as much as I do.
Maybe it's a shallow ploy for attention and money.
Got it. Mission accomplished.
Nope.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Mr. Trump, if you can point out that she has had some bumpy business roads...
Carly Fiorina has had some bumpy business roads.
Isn't that true of you also with all the bankruptcies that you've declared over the years? It just seems like you're the kettle calling the pot black.
Not the pot calling the kettle black.
However that expression goes. Come on, Donald.
That was a moment with Bean.
It's like Kevin's still here.
Oh, yeah.
Slow clap. All right. Slow clap,
thank
everybody.
Thank you very much.
Slow clap.
There you go.
Standing O!
What about Rob Lowe?
Mm-hmm.
What a terrific actor he is. New series is called The Grinder. It premieres next Tuesday on Fox. We'll talk to Mr. Lowe coming up right after the top of the hour. First, we also got the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
I'm not well-versed in such things, but correct me if I'm wrong, someone either here in the studio or in the listening audience. Grinder.
Mm-hmm.
Grinder, yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. No, this has an E in it. Grinder.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the confusion, I'm sure a lot of people were very confused when they heard the title.
I'm thinking if I'm going to put a television program on the air, maybe I don't name it after the gay hookup site.
Yeah.
Right.
The gay hookup app.
Yeah.
Maybe I steer away from that unless, of course, my show is about gay men
not at all.
Having random sex with each other.
Anonymous sex, yeah. Look, I'm sure there were lots of meetings at Fox.
They were one short. Discussion. I think they were one meeting short of all. If how many meetings they had, there was one more that needed to be had.
That's where they made a different decision.
Where they had said, let's call it, hey, Rob and Fred or something. I don't know. Maybe there was another title they could have gone with to avoid any sort of confusion.
Maybe The Grinder, but not the one you're thinking of. Maybe
exactly,
that.
Right. Maybe The Meat Grind. No, that wouldn't work. Hey, speaking of television shows with dreamy dudes in them, how about Grandfathered, huh? Grandfathered. Who's with me? Grandfathered, right? Grandfathered?
Yeah, that guy, yeah.
John Stamos.
John Stamos, sure.
He plays a swinging dude, a guy who enjoys the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing you know, some guy shows up. Hey, I'm your son. Wah? And then double wah? And this is your grandchild. And so suddenly, John Stamos, who believes he's this playa, now is a grandfather.
Pop-Pop can still have game, no?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because this Saturday at the Grove,
Why don't you go get gilfed?
Wait, do I have to go on Grindr to get gilfed?
You heard me. They're gilfing people down at the Grove on Saturday. Get gilfed.
Okay.
Gilf.
Please explain.
Gilf. G-I-L-F.
No, I think we know what it means, but
how
do they
grandfather,
do that to us?
I'd like to...
Right.
Friend. But
friend.
Yeah.
How is that working on Saturday, though?
Well, there's a barbershop there at the Grove called Rudy's.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Rudy Cisnero runs that place. That'd be fascinating to me. But all dads, grandpas, and bros, say the press release, can get gilfed with free stylings and shaves by Rudy's Barbershop at the Grove. So you need a trim, you need a shave, for free. Go to Rudy's Barbershop, and then you can show off your brand new gilf look on their photo website.
Wow.
Op situation.
You sound committed.
Look, I'm not obligated to read this. I just thought it was adorable that everyone now is trying to get some attention for their new shows as we roll into the new fall season. So that's from noon to 8 p.m. That's 8 hours of shaving and haircutting and stuff for free there at Rudy's Barbershop. So if you're a gilf, go down there and get yourself a new look, and then you'll be beating off the ladies with a stick on Grindr. Let's take a look at some of the show business news for the morning. It must be rough to be Bruce Springsteen. His birthday yesterday, of course, we celebrated. Turned 66 years old. Because you can't ever go to a concert and just sit in the audience.
Yeah,
and
probably
just watch.
Too famous.
Too famous.
Too famous to be in public and just hang out.
And the guy on stage invariably will pull you up on stage.
Yeah.
And that's what happened Tuesday night during Jackson Browne's concert at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey. Jackson Browne was performing, and he introduced Bruce and asked him to come up on stage and perform with him. And Bruce, being the good guy that he is, wound up on stage for about 15 minutes. They did a couple songs together, and apparently all went well. But he must get that everywhere he goes. Hey, why don't you come up? We'll do a song, you and me. We can, hey, Dancing in the Dark, you and me. What do you say?
Yep.
And he's like,
I'd rather not.
Now, come on, Bruce. It'd be great. People will love it. Come on, Bruce. The Bruce Man, Boss, Springsteen, Gilf.
Ruff, do people come up to you on the street and demand that you do impressions?
Constantly. Every comedy show I go to, they say, come on up, do Ed Wynn. No, and that never happens to me. But I imagine it happens to the boss quite a bit. Hey, people love them Muppets, don't they?
Yeah.
Big numbers.
Do they? Tell me.
Ratings are in for ABC's new Muppet Show premiere. 8.9 million viewers.
Wow.
Overall.
That's big.
And that's despite being opposite The Voice and NCIS. Two huge ratings grabbers. So that is the number 2 rated new series in the fall so far in the coveted 18 to 49 age group behind NBC's Blind Spot. Apparently that also did very well for itself.
Is that the tattoo?
It's Jamie Alexander with her tattoos all over. Yeah.
Ralph, you watched some Empire last night?
Oh, darn it, no.
You missed it.
I forgot to watch that.
For a couple seasons.
I did watch me some New Nashville, though. Ooh. Oh, you didn't see yet, Allie?
No, it's too late.
Oh. Too late.
It's not too late for me.
Oh, so anyway, remember at the end of last season?
At the end of last season,
there's a flat line in the operating room while Deacon is getting his...
No more.
Oh, all right.
Asshole.
Oh, come on. It's your fault if you don't watch, right? Isn't that what we say around here?
You're right.
No.
When it comes to ratings, by the way, Fox's new much-touted Scream Queens did not do so well.
Well, they're airing it again tonight, so you get another shot at it.
They got to get as many people watching as possible. I want to see Ariana Grande covered in blood. I'm going to tune in just hoping that happens. That
Ariana
happens.
Grande?
Ariana Grande, yes, that. Kevin. Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande? Ariana Grande?
Yeah, whatever. Doofus. Today's celebrity birthdays. Stephanie McMahon from the WWE. She, of course, of the McMahon family that created that juggernaut of entertainment. 39 years old today. Joe Green. Mean Joe Green. Formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers. 69 years old today. I almost said Penguins. That would have been wrong. Nia Vardalos is 53 years old. And actor Kevin Sorbo, you know him, of course, as Hercules. We have to get some. Do we have the disappointed? Do we have that audio? We'll have to get that for the next hour.
But let's have O bring it.
Oh, that is one of my favorite moments in television history. Disappointed! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's still the weirdest song of 2015, as far as I'm concerned. I can't get my head around the fact that that's many things that don't go together that somehow Fall Out Boy manages to make go together.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. We'll talk sports with our friend Jim Rome coming up in just a few minutes. First, though, how about catching up with Rob Lowe? Is there nothing this guy can't do with Wayne's World and Austin Powers and The West Wing and Parks and Rec and Brothers and Sisters and Californication, and the list just goes on and on and on. He's got a new series called The Grinder that is going to be Tuesday nights on Fox this fall at 8:30. Rob, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, thanks. Good to talk to you again. Been a while, but glad to be back.
It's great to have you. Speaking of sports, I mentioned we're talking to Jim Rome coming up. I saw something on your Twitter this week about your sympathies to Cowboys fans about Tony Romo. Please tell me that's just because you're a good guy and a fan of football, not because you're a Cowboys fan.
Here's the thing with that. they have training camp up near me in Camarillo, right? So I go down and watch them train. They're so gracious and they're so nice. I get why America's team is hated. Isn't it funny? Like, some of you will hate the Cowboys, and yet they're called America's team. Kind of interesting.
I think they're called America's team because of the Thanksgiving games, because everybody sees them. And where they were, back in the days when we were growing up, there weren't nearly as many options for games on TV. And they were the ones that seemed to be on a lot, like the Steelers. You know, you got used to them, so you became a fan of them, unless you're a good person, in which case you resisted the urge to become a fan of the Cowboys.
Which is why it's funny. You're right. I always wondered why I was a Steelers fan. I grew up in Ohio, right by the Bengals and the Browns, and was always because they were just the ones on TV. So, now I just can't believe their bad luck. This is the year they were supposed to do it all, and they don't have Dez and they don't have Romo. That's a league. You want the stars. Look, you got stars
you're right
out there, man.
All right. Well, that's acceptable as a football fan. acceptable.
Who are they going to be throwing to? And whatnot throws to other whatnot, and that's completion. You're like, what?
And the other thing is, by the way, you need to be doing play-by-play for the NFL because I think you've got the knack for it, son. The other thing is, who wins in that division? It's the worst division in football, right? I mean, who's going to run away with it? The Eagles? The Redskins? I mean, there's no one.
I can tell you won't win. The fans. Division.
Tough times. Rob, you're still in Santa Barbara, still managing to make a living and not live in Hollywood.
It's beautiful here. The problem is it's a gigantic commute. I mean, I'm in the middle of shooting The Grinder. We're doing 12 and 13 hour days, and I'm coming home. Luckily, I do get. One of the perks is I do get driven. So if you see a guy passed out in a passenger seat, you know, with noise canceling headphones on and a sleep mask, it's me.
It's worth going all the way 100 miles to get to sleep in your own bed at night rather than just have a little apartment near the set.
You know, it was really worth it when my kids were at home. I think it was really important for them to know that I was home every night and that they could check in with me, and I could just even give them a quick kiss or whatever. Now that they're in college, I still do it. It's more out of habit, I guess.
Gotcha. This is the voice of Rob Lowe here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His show is called The Grinder, as Rob mentioned. It's going to be Tuesday nights at 8:30 on Fox, premiering next Tuesday night. We saw the show yesterday. Allie and I came in this morning, and, you know, we're like, okay, what did you think? Because you don't know. We both were so surprised by how funny it was, Rob. It's really good.
Thank you.
Maybe ease into it. Maybe with the, it was great. Not we were so surprised, Rob.
Well, look, you know what it is, Rob? There's a million new shows, and, you know, this is the time of year where TV viewers are sampling them, and most of them are not going to be to our taste. Most of them are not going to be great. You don't expect that much out of most of them. And then when something comes along and it way exceeds your expectations, it really feels good, you know?
By the way, this is great to hear because at this point, we've made six of them. you know, we're getting great feedback like this, but you still, you don't know because America hasn't seen it. Mm-hmm. But I'm really proud of it. I will tell you, I did a scene last night with Jason Alexander. We have people now literally seeing us and calling us up and asking to be on the show, which is almost unprecedented. Jason Alexander, we have Timothy Oliphant from Justified.
Nice.
Because people are just digging the show so much. So I'm really excited for, like, finally for America to see it on Tuesday.
The premise of the show is that Rob Lowe is a TV lawyer. He's got many successful seasons under his belt playing a lawyer. And then he goes to visit his brother in Idaho. And his brother is a lawyer. And Rob Lowe's character says, hey, I want to be a lawyer too. Figuring that he's learned enough from reading all those scripts over the years that he could actually practice law, which sounds like a ridiculous premise, Rob, except for the fact that most of America would have voted for Martin Sheen if he had run for president at one time.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, is it when you think about it, is it any more ridiculous than Donald Trump thinking he wants to be the president? I mean,
not at
really,
all.
You know? It's the land of opportunity. We can all do whatever we want. And, you know, one of the themes that I like about it is that, you know, it lampoons Hollywood in a really funny insider baseball but really relatable way. And, you know, he's a star who's had everything, and now he wants – like, he's excited to wait in line to get coffee. Mm-hmm. He's like, wait a minute. So I drink a lot of coffee, but it's always handed to me. This is amazing. How does it work? You know?
And I also love that the people in the Idaho town and even the people in his brother, played by Fred Savage, even the people in his family are starstruck by him, even though he's a member of the family. And you're right. I mean, it is kind of lampooning the way regular people interact with Hollywood people. But this time you're on their turf rather than them being on your turf in Hollywood.
It's, you know, when I read the script, I'd come off of Parks and Recreation, which was 4 years of working with some of the best, funniest, brightest people, you know, I could ever be fortunate enough to be with. And I had to, if I was going to do another comedy, it had to be equal to Parks. It really did. And I think this is absolutely a worthy successor. It came sort of out of nowhere to me. I just showed up on my desk one day, and I was like, I am doing this show. And I haven't felt this way about a show since The West Wing, where I felt like we were onto something, and it was, you know, just a matter of time till people saw it. So it's a weird special show, and those are rarer and rarer on TV these days.
What kind of witchcraft are you and Fred Savage into that neither of you have aged?
It's funny you ask. You set this up perfectly for me, so thank you. I will
You're
be
welcome.
Giving you a portion of the profits. But 8 years ago, or sorry, 6 years ago, I started doing my own men's skincare line. I've been developing it with some of the best labs. And a lot of it is, over the years, I've had the best and the brightest taking care of me as part mm-hmm. of the job. I get in the chair in the morning, and they put the crazy stuff on my face. And, you know, I've been doing it since I was 15. I have people ask me all the time, what do you do? What do you do? So I'm now bringing that to, like, the average dude, and it's called Profile for Men. You can get it at Nordstrom's and online. But that is part of it, is I've been forced to take care of myself by people who really know what they're talking about.
Well, it's Profiles for Men. It sounds great. It's too late for me. Probably too late for you too, Ellie. I'm sorry to say.
I won't hear of it. I know you're on radio. I know you don't care, quote unquote. But it's never too late.
Listen to him, Bean. It's never too late for that mug of yours.
Okay.
Right,
Rob Lowe says
it,
that it's got to be true.
Dude, I've seen the billboards. Come on. It can happen.
The show is called The Grinder. By the way, real quick, before we say goodbye, because we were talking about this before you came on, too. There had to be meetings at Fox where they said, no, we can't call it The Grinder. That already means a thing, and that's not what this show is about. How did they finally decide to go with it?
Here's what makes me laugh, is that people go, I don't get it. The Grinder, there's a double entendre. And I'm like, we know. That's the whole point. We get more mileage of my character going, I want to grind with you. I want to say to people, no, guys, really, the problem with the title would be if you were making a drama. It's a comedy. It's supposed to be a goof. And Yeah, that he gets to grind with people just makes us laugh.
Well, if you want to see Rob Lowe grind, and who wouldn't, September 29th, 8:30 on Fox. It will be Tuesdays this fall. Rob, we always enjoy your time when you stop by the Kevin Bean Show. You're welcome anytime. Thanks so much for coming on. Good luck with the show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I can't wait till you guys have to get rid of What's Good again. You know, you guys always forget what kind of listeners you guys have.
How dare you?
Great ones.
I thank you, Ralph.
Yes.
Great ones. This is where we open up the phone lines for you at 1-800-520-1067. You can call us on any topic right now. 1-800. What the hell am I doing giving you the phone number?
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
We love you, too. Thank you, Doe. You can call us on any topic here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Something that we're missing, something that you need an explanation for, something that you need an opinion on. What else, Ralph? What else are we looking for?
Anything you think maybe we're not covering. You know, we only have so much time during the show to talk about things that are happening in our world. And maybe there's a subject matter that you feel passionately about that we're not giving enough attention to. And I love our listeners because I think they have the three N's. That I call them. They are informed, mm-hmm. they are inspirational, mm-hmm. and they are insane.
Yeah.
And those three things always make for fascinating phone calls. So please bring it.
The crazy.
Give us a call. We'll talk to you next here on the Kevin Bean Show. Speaking of calls, my wife is on the line. And thank you, Ralph. The reason being is I found out this weekend, and tell me if this is disturbing to me as I feel like I have something to be concerned. I'm looking over my shoulder now because I found out that
tell
my wife.
Tell me if this is disturbing to me.
All right, Kevin, go on.
I found out that my wife is actually planning my funeral.
Actually?
Literally? Planning my funeral. Yes, and actively as well. This isn't just some faraway thing, oh, I understand I'm probably going to outlive you. One day I'll bury you, honey. That's not what this is. This is, I am making plans. I know what the readings are going to be. I've got the seating chart. I've got the invitations.
That's love, Bean.
That's not love.
It
I
is
feel like
love.
She's way too far along in the planning process for my funeral.
I like the way she thinks.
Yeah, I'm with Donna.
I hoped was decades in the future. So we welcome Mrs. Baxter to the Kevin DeBean Show from the kitchen downstairs right now. Hi, Donna.
Hi, baby.
So... to tell the kids how this came up the other day.
This
we were sitting watching TV.
This is so unfair. First of all, I want to blame Kirker Butler because this is actually on him. We were watching his super funny but dumb new show, and they had a scene where, you know, the patriarch.
This is the Life in Pieces show.
Yeah,
right. We were talking about.
The patriarch of the family is having his birthday party as a funeral so that all his friends can say nice things about him while he's still alive to hear them. And his son starts reading that W.H. Auden poem from Four Weddings and a Funeral, mm-hmm. which is beautiful.
Yes.
Which 25 years ago I decided, like, that is just the deepest, sweetest, loveliest poem. I'm going to read that at Bean's funeral because that's how I feel about him.
And you've been dying to use that poem for 25
years. 25
years
ago. Well, here's the thing is Bean's, you know, Bean's like high-functioning autistic.
Right.
So he plans, he goes to bed planning, today's a Danny's day, tomorrow's an IHOP mm-hmm. day, today I'm going to eat this, tomorrow I'm going to do the dishes at this time, don't touch the dog food, I've got a system. So I thought that Bean would actually appreciate the fact that I'm planning, right?
Donna, you are so right. This is the, of
yeah.
all people, Bean
Thank
should appreciate
you. Yeah.
The
exactly.
forethought and the planning going into this.
So what does he do the other day when I go, I was just caught off guard. I go, oh, my God. And he goes, what? And I'm like, that's the poem I was going to use at your funeral. And he goes, what? He's like, why are you planning for me to die? Now, like, I have already been told by other people and seen on Twitter with the hashtag, whatever it is, summer at Beanie's, that he's not really alive anymore. people are making these assumptions like I went to Barcelona by myself and I'm just propping him up and carrying him around.
There were suggestions for some of the listeners that I'm already dead and it was a weekend at Beanie's
weekend
situation.
At Beanie's.
But
So, you know, here I am. It's like, why would I plan for Bean's funeral? Because 3 years ago at Christmas, he fell down the stairs and hurt his back. 2 years ago Christmas, he fainted and broke 3 ribs. Last Christmas, he fell off a stage and almost died.
Look.
Like, if anybody should be planning, it should be me, right?
You're preaching to the choir, sister.
Thank you. Believe me.
We know. The way Bean lives his life is just a matter of time.
I know. He's a daredevil. I mean, Evel Knievel wishes that he was as bold as Bean is in his everyday.
Bean's going to fall in a well, and then that'll be the end of it.
Donna, I think... Wow. I think the fact that you have a date circled in red with a happy face.
That's my point.
That's the scary part.
It's not a happy face. Have you heard the poem? The poem is like, you know, put out the stars, put out the sun. They're not wanted anymore. I mean, that's how devastated I'll be when Bean dies.
But my sister,
Carrie, who's single, has said, please make sure there are hot guys at the funeral for me to hook up with.
Life is for the living.
Yeah. As Bean has said many times, life is for the living.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Oh, and Bean has also said, by the way, when I die, for me not to worry about him because he's going to meet some hot model at my funeral. And she, don't worry, he won't let her wear my clothes because her boobs will be too big.
Oh, so, what a sweetheart.
I'd like to say, I'm the one that's going to be the saddest when they lose their spouse.
All right, we're almost out of time here. The feeling I got was not just, oh, this is something I've thought about for decades. The feeling I got was, I am planning it now. I have the dress picked out that's hanging on the back of the bathroom door.
I've got
the guest list ready to go. I feel like it's closer than I know, this funeral that you're talking
about.
No, not at all.
I mean, Stryker's on call right now. That's my date.
Other than that,
I don't really have an outfit picked out. You know, I don't like to wear last season. So,
okay. She'll design something brand new for the event, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we got to go. Can you at least give me a heads up how much time I have?
I think you're good today.
Okay.
The rest of the show, Bean.
I think we're
Enjoy.
Good today. I super right. love you. I'm going to miss you.
I love you too. I'm going to miss you too. Wait a minute.
That's true, Donna. It just dawned on me. He saved every nickel he's ever made. You're going to cash in.
I'm so rich. You don't even know. But I'm going to hate every minute of it because life with you has been Valentine's Day every day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Bye. See you later.
I love you. Be safe. Make good choices.
Oh, no.
I'm okay.
That's it.
I'm okay. No, I'm all right. Hey, Jim Rome talks sports in 20 minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew on the program later on as well. And don't forget, we got more tickets for you to see Muse at Staples Center. Tickets are going on sale Friday at 10 a.m., but you can win them all week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show, just like Juan Quesada did from Upland. Your chance to win coming up. Right now, though, how about What's Good?
What's good? Come on, let us know what you want to talk about on this show. What's good? Come on, let us know what's going on. Time to go. What's good?
You can give us a call on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. As Ralph explained, if there's something we should be talking about that we're not, you let us know. And we'll start with Jason in Azusa. He is up first on line 5, please. He's got a question. Jason, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's good?
What's good?
What'd it do? What's bad, actually? I would like someone to explain to me exactly what's the fascination with Jack White. I do not get it. I like music. I like all kinds of music, but there's one song you guys play that as soon as I hear it, I got to turn it off. I have to, because I just can't. I can't understand why anybody would want to listen to that.
All right.
I mean, look, music is subjective. Kevin doesn't like the Beatles, so there's no accounting for what everybody is in his individual taste is. But I think the reason people like Jack White is he is a terrific musician and singer and songwriter and entertainer on stage. And if you're a fan of rock and roll music that is based in the blues like his is, like if you like the Black Keys, for instance, or the Rolling Stones or lots of other bands in that tradition, I think he kind of fits in that groove.
Except for I'm not a huge fan of, guitar playing. It sounds like somebody's violating a cat with a broken glass embossed pipe cleaner.
Wow, you put some thought into this.
That's horrible.
Rack him.
Even the name of it, I hate it so much.
Rack him. Rack him
for
that Jack White smack.
Everybody knows what song I'm talking about because I'm not the only one that thinks that. I can't be.
Look, I don't know what song you're talking about because we play lots of songs from Jack White, from the Raconteurs, and from the White Stripes. I mean, he's had a bunch of hits on K-Rock over the years. You hate them all? Everything you've heard from him you hate?
Oh, it's like eating a rotten piece of fruit. You know, you get, you know, the first part, it's not too bad. We get to the middle, it's black. And that song in particular is really bad. The rest of it is just meh. But, no, that song, I wish one of you could just come up with the name of it because I want to be able to get it tattooed somewhere so I can remember how much I hate it.
Jeez, Jason.
Rack him. Listen, there's going to be people who don't like every artist, but I think in case of Jack White, you have to appreciate at least the fact that he thinks outside the box and he experiments and he tries new things. I think that alone deserves some respect because it's refreshing and he seems to be a guy who really cares about music.
Again, I don't know.
All right, Jason.
All right.
I don't get
it. Glad you're called. Thank you so much for the call.
Jason, come with a Jack White smack.
Let's go to Dominic, Huntington Beach, up next, line 8 on Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Hey, Dominic.
What's good?
How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. What's up, Dom?
How are you guys doing this morning?
Good, Dom. Yeah, what's up?
That. Go ahead.
What's good?
All right. I don't have a music question. I have an opinion to ask you guys.
Great. Of course, yeah.
All right. How much plastic surgery do you really think Kylie Jenner has on her face? And do you think that it's all right that she got about 95% of it done before she was even 18?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this when Kris Jenner, her mother, came forward and said, initially, I told her she couldn't have it. Then I was just like, oh, whatever. She just sort of abdicated her responsibility as a mother when her daughter was getting repeated lip injections for the most part. And I don't think it's okay that kids do. I think you have to wait until you're 18 and you kind of grow into your face and you have to kind of make your decisions then. But look, that whole family, that's the least bad decision they've ever made, really, in the long run.
Yeah. I think that it's the age part that gets to me, too. Because I'm all for, if you feel better getting your nose done, getting your boobs done, go for it. But I don't think she was quite at the age that she should have been making those choices.
But I think there's so much obsession in that family to be perfect from the time you're a little kid, right? Because that's all they strive for is physical perfection in that family. So I feel like she probably felt a lot of heat to get it done if everything wasn't just so. How do you think she looks, Dominic? Are you happy with the way it's turned out? I mean, the ethics of it aside, do you think it worked for her?
No. I think it's a bit much. I mean, the eyebrows, I mean, she even got her eyes done to where they're like twice as big. And frankly, she looks like a Barbie, and it's too much.
All right. Definitely. Good call, Dominic. Appreciate the call. I wonder what she's going to look like when she's 40, by the way.
That's the thing. If you start down that road at 17, where do you go?
Yeah,
right?
It could get real scary.
Let's try Brennan, Northridge, line 2. He has a very important question that needs to be answered immediately. Brennan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's good?
What's good?
Hi, what's good? Yeah, I'm glad you think it's as important as I do, because I had this discussion with some coworkers of mine yesterday about how you never hear about giant Godzilla genitalia taking down buildings during its destruction.
Good point, Brennan. I didn't realize.
You see his tail swinging around. You see the arms batting around. People are getting their cars flipped over. But nobody's getting taken out by a giant Godzilla piece of genitalia.
Yeah.
By the way, this topic just came up earlier this year when Jurassic World was in theaters. People were talking about how incredibly realistic and lifelike those dinosaurs were, yet none of them had buttholes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it makes no sense. How do they reproduce? How did Godzilla get there without other Godzilla genitalia?
Right. Where's Wangzilla? Right? That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, you're on the same page. Right? Where's Wangzilla? I mean, giant Mothra? Is that a... Come on.
All right. Brennan, I'm glad you brought that very serious issue to our attention. And we have a lot of people in Hollywood who work in the movies. So get on it, you people. Let's get some Wangzilla going in the theater. Thanks for calling. This has been What's Good.
What's Good?
And now, a moment with Bean.
You have been very tough on Miss Fiorina.
I've also been hard on Carly Fiorina.
What did I say? Did I screw that?
That was a moment with Bean.
That was such a moment with laden break that we have to break it up into segments, like a mini series to play all the mistakes you made.
Yes, exactly.
It's madness.
I got taken for 10 runs in the first inning. That's what happened.
Wow, I got shelled.
Rob is here, time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. Next hour, by the way, your stories of friends and families betrayed. I'm nervous about that segment because I think it's going to be very dark and very uncomfortable, Ralph.
I know a dude whose wife had the poem for his funeral at the ready.
No.
Dare you.
And she betrayed him by poisoning his chocolate milk.
That's how I'm going to go, probably.
In his secret chocolate milk fridge.
Because she thinks that I don't know that she knows about the chocolate milk fridge. So she's going to poison that and I won't even see it coming.
Right.
I like it.
Well
said. All right. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
We heard Bean talking to Donald Trump about Carly Fiorina recently.
Is that her name?
Fiorina is actually her name. In the news, Donald Trump now is feuding with Fox News. He tweeted yesterday, "Fox News has been treating me very unfairly, and I've therefore decided I won't be doing any more Fox shows for the foreseeable future." Oh, shut them down. Then Fox News released a statement
saying when coverage doesn't go his way, Donald Trump engages in personal attacks on our anchors and hosts, which has grown stale and tiresome. So they're not going to have him on. To which Donald Trump tweeted back, "Nanny, nanny, boo, boo, you're a dummy head." And then Fox News released a statement saying, "You smell like a monkey poo-poo head face."
Wow.
It is some serious dialogue.
This is a country, and this is the media talking to a candidate for the presidency.
Yeah. That's correct.
I think Fox should call his bluff and say, "You're not coming on ever again. Just do it. Just put your foot down and do it. See what happens."
But how will they get the ratings then?
Megyn Kelly's ratings have been better than ever since he started talking so much smack about her.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you don't want ABC to get the interview with Donald Trump that you could have. You know what I'm saying?
Sadly, Fox News will be fine.
Yeah. You've got to make hay while the sun shines. And comedian Amy Schumer is doing just that. She, of course, could not be any hotter than she is right now with her film Trainwreck and her comedy specials. She is the it girl.
Yeah, when just won an Emmy Sunday night.
To the world of comedy. And she's cashing in. Smart lady. Just signed a major book deal. She's going to write her memoirs. The Girl with the Lower Back Tattoo will be the name of it. And word is she is raking in $8 to $10 million for her book deal.
Good for her.
Wow.
The memoir will reportedly explore her childhood and feature personal and observational stories that range from raunchy to romantic, heartfelt to harrowing. It's all in there. Get shoomed. That should be the motto. Probably isn't. But.
It's tough to sell books these days. And publishers have had a lot of success with Mindy Kaling's book, with Amy Poehler's book, Lena Dunham's, Tina Fey. I mean, funny ladies have so far been doing pretty well.
Right, because chicks love to read. That's one thing I know. That's one thing I've learned from marriage. Oh, women and their books. Boy, do they like some books.
Not tonight, Ralph. Got to get through a chapter.
I can't tell you how many nights I say, what are we watching? I'm going to go upstairs and read. I'm in the middle of this book I like. And there's television! And you're going to open a stack of paper?
Sometimes I call it reading, on it? Too. Yeah.
In the world of romance, Amy Poehler and Nick Kroll have split up after 2 years of dating.
Aww. Oh, good. I didn't like that at all.
What?
I don't care for those two together.
Why?
She can do better. She can do better.
They started seeing each other a few months after she split with Will Arnett, and apparently they are no longer dating. And in the world of comedians and hot chicks, Will Forte and his girlfriend January Jones apparently have also split up. That's got to sting if you're Will Forte. I mean, well, you know, Amy Poehler, she's smart and stuff, but funny. You can find a lot of those. But January Jones walks out, you're like, oh.
I had no idea they were dating.
Oh.
None.
That hurts.
Yeah.
Especially with that beard he has to carry around. He's not getting another January Jones with that beard on his face.
Especially when you're the last man on Earth. I mean, there's not a lot of options.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
That's right. Yes, he does. And speaking of the last man, last night's Big Brother Season 17 winner was announced. The last man standing in the Big Brother house, Steve. Steve, everybody.
Yeah.
Steve.
Here for Steve.
How is this show still on the air? What's going on? How is Big Brother still a thing? Is anyone watching Big Brother?
Well, look.
Anyone
they
know?
They wouldn't put it on every single year unless
it
were
cost $8 to make. Of course they're making a profit on it. It's a house that they've built already, and they put people in it.
Right.
That they don't pay until Steve comes out at the end, and they give Steve a check. But it's not expensive.
Too?
They got the boss's wife hosting. She probably does it for nothing, right?
Right.
Come on. Of course it's still on the air. I just don't know if anybody's watching.
I assume they are. I don't think they would put anything on the air that people aren't watching. Intentionally. But it is amazing to me that that show continues. It really is.
Season 17, the end of the 17th season.
You look at other shows that CBS has in that genre. You know, you look at the Survivors and the Amazing Races, and you go, those are people really working hard to put a great show on.
That's television right there.
That's television, right? Yeah. They're doing something
with
it.
This is security cameras. That's what this is.
Yeah.
You could hold this show in a 7-Eleven. You just close the 7-Eleven, just put people in.
Bean would love to be on that.
Imagine Bean living in a 7-Eleven.
She can find something in that 7-Eleven to kill me with.
Well, she could live alone in one of your many mansions while you were stuck in a 7-Eleven drinking out of the Slurpee thing without a cup, just putting your head under there, just turning Slurpees on. When's the last time you had a Slurpee?
I don't do Slurpees.
Not
the guy who loves 7-Eleven doesn't like the thing they're probably most famous for having and providing.
What do you get at 7-Eleven?
I like the Big Gulp.
I'm a Big Gulp man, first of all, and if they have a fine selection of food and snacks, candy, but I'm not a Slurpee guy.
What is their fine selection of food and snacks?
They have those little wieners that roll around on those rollers under that hot lamp. I enjoy that.
They got a decent pizza. They got a burrito.
Oh, my God. You just used the words decent pizza and 7-Eleven in the same sentence. You should never be allowed to eat pizza again ever.
It is surprisingly better than you would expect.
You know why? Because you know what I expect?
Oh, that's a visual.
Yeah.
I
can't say what I expect.
Dave just weighed in. He loves 7-Eleven pizza, by the way.
Well, Dave, of course he does. Look at his life. Look at him.
Or maybe it's good and you haven't had it.
Listen.
Is that possible?
I come from a land down under. I come from a city where pizza is revered. Like, it's a sacrament when you eat a nice slice of pie.
I get that, but you know what?
No, you don't get it, because if you go to 7-Eleven and say, oh, this is delicious, then you lose, sir. Good day, sir.
But when I'm in the 7-Eleven in West Seattle this afternoon, I'm not in New York to get raised pizza.
I guarantee you, within a 5-mile radius of that 7-Eleven, there's a decent pizza parlor somewhere around that 7-Eleven.
I'm telling you, 7-Eleven pizza is good enough.
Oh, sweet Lord.
That's what I'm telling you.
Sweet Lord in heaven, you are beyond saving. You are a lost cause.
Muggs weighs in. 7-Eleven food is so good. He particularly enjoys the
Muggs!
Wings.
Do you know who you just quoted? This is a man who just last week was digging through trash looking for tacos to eat. I'm not literally digging with his hands through garbage to find tacos to eat.
All right. I don't need him on my side is what you're saying.
Good. It's wrapped. If it's still wrapped, it's still good for me. Bleh. Today's celebrity birthday, Stephanie McMahon is 39 years old today. Former NFL player Mean Joe Green, one of the greats, 69. Nina Vardalos is 53 years old. And actor Kevin Sorbo, you know him as Hercules on television. He is 57 years old today. Kevin, how do you feel about being 57?
Disappointed!
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thursday mornings, right about this time, we catch up with our friend Jim Rome. You can hear him on The Beast, 980 AM, 9 to noon. Look for him on Showtime as well. Jim, I've been on vacation a little bit. I missed you, my friend. How are you?
Bean, brother, you're back. How was it?
Barcelona's the best, dude. You got to go. I can't believe you've never been to Barcelona.
Well, I've never been the host of a morning show, which has been number one for like 30 years in a row. That's how you roll,
let's
man. Barcelona.
No,
you know, I've never been there, but I hear it is an awesome, awesome thing to do. So maybe next time. But good for you, man. Welcome back.
You got to do it. Well, it's great to be back. I certainly miss talking sports with you, although I am not enjoying this football season as much as I have in previous years. It's no fun being in the 0-2 club. And I will tell you, talking about my Seahawks there, I will tell you that I know there's a lot of games still to go. We shouldn't panic yet if we're in this spot, right?
You know what? I'm not going to say this because I'm trying to blow some smoke, and I know that's your team, but now that Cam Chancellor is coming back, I absolutely guarantee everything's going to be fine for you. You've got nothing to worry about.
I hear the mocking in your voice.
Just kidding. Just kidding. I was waiting for you to say, really, really? No. Now, everything's not all right. Can we talk about Cam for 1 minute? All right,
yeah.
So
yes,
he ends
please.
His holdout. He ends his holdout, and he says, quote, God forgives all, why can't I? Time to help us get back to the big dance. I can address business after the season. End of quote. Let me translate that for you.
Please.
I'm losing more than a quarter of a mil a game holding out. We lost both games. Now some of my teammates are pissed at me. It's time to ball up. And, you know, truth is, he deserves a little more money, but he just got worked by the team. Just like every single player that holds out gets worked by their team, and there are no winners here. And everything's not all right, Bean.
Look, if you're Paul Allen, though, I respect the fact that he put his foot down and said, I'm not going to let a guy come in here, no matter who he is, and renegotiate a 5-year deal after 2 years. That would set a terrible precedent. Essentially, you're saying to your players, contracts don't mean anything. We can rip them up whenever you want. That's no way to run a business.
You know, and the best part about the owner is the contracts don't mean anything because they're all one-sided, except for that guaranteed money. They can cut these guys anytime they want. so they don't mean anything, but you're exactly right. There's that precedent. If Cam Chancellor does that and they let him do that, there will be a line outside the building of other guys who want to renegotiate as well. So really nobody wins here except everybody who hates the 12th bag. See what I did there, Bean?
I'm feeling pretty good, not only about having Cam back, but having our home opener this weekend and playing against the Bears. Though if those three things together can't get a W, then nothing will. Let's talk about some of the other teams, though, because there's a lot of news going on in the NFL right now, now that the season is finally here. What's going on in Cleveland? I think a lot of people are surprised to see Johnny Football sat down.
Not me. Uh-uh. Not me. It was fun while it lasted. Johnny Football goes back to Johnny Clipboard. You know, this cat had a couple of moments on Sunday. He looked like A&M Manziel, scrambling all over the place, pulling a couple of long TDs out of his backside, and now he's back on the bench. And it's not like it's because Tom Brady's coming back. It's Josh McCown. And that tells you all you need to know about with the Browns. Think about Manziel, that they've got a 36-year-old concussed journeyman who's lost more games than he's won for his career, and they think that he gives them a better chance to win right now than Manziel, and they're probably right. Now, if you're a Johnny Manziel fan, the good news is that concussion will wear off. McCown will remember he's McCown, and then Manziel will get a shot, just not right now.
But Cleveland does expect Manziel to be their quarterback of the future, don't they?
The fans do. The fans do. And you know, the team doesn't know. There's this argument that since they don't know, they ought to throw him out there right now. But you've got an ownership that is really impatient, and guys get broken off. And when I say guys, I mean coaches, general manager. If they have a bad year, the guys that are running this thing, the coach, the staff, they've got no, there's no wiggle room. They have to win right now. So a guy who's played 13 years gives them a better chance to win right now. If they were smart, they'd put the kid out there and find out what he can do. But they're not smart like that, and they're worried about their own asses. They're covering their own backsides.
Let's talk Cowboys for a minute. Tony Romo eligible to start November 22nd. So what happens to that team between now and Thanksgiving, Jim?
Yeah, it's funny because he will be eligible. If all goes well, he could come back that day. But when he went down, you may have seen the owner, Jerry Jones, say he was, quote, lower than a crippled cricket's ass. That's a quote.
whatever that
means in hillbilly talk. But now, apparently, he's higher than a coyote on peyote, baby, because he's making it sound like Romo going down is actually a good thing. Did you see his quote? Brandon Whedon is the guy to replace him, and he said, quote, his passing motion and his arm, frankly, you won't see a more gifted passer. That's Jerry. Right, Jerry? And we won't hear a bigger bullcrapper.
Yeah,
the good news is, being look around the division, in Washington, you've got a couple of quarterbacks that can't be in the same room together. The Giants find ways to lose every Sunday, and the Eagles are a mess. So right now, they might actually be okay if they can hang until November 22nd.
I don't know that we'll get a worse Thursday night game than tonight, by the way, with Washington versus New York either.
You will.
Let's talk baseball for a minute. The Angels are trying very hard to make the playoffs. It's still kind of on the bubble. We'll see how they do. The Dodgers, obviously, are what their magic number, I think, is down to 5. But something very funny happened in Chicago this week. The Cubs are out already for this season, and some fans have had enough, right?
No, they're actually all right. They're still doing pretty well. Hey, Allie, are you
all
right?
Like 7
What's going on, Allie?
I'm listening.
Good, Allie, just checking in.
Yeah,
just checking
thanks.
In.
Appreciate
all right,
it.
So the thing about Chicago, it's great. Windy City is like Grip City. First, their manager, Joe Maddon, blamed their crappy defense on AC/DC coming in and tearing up their infield. And now Kobayashi, that competitive eating freak that you see on TV, he showed up a couple of nights back to kill the curse of the Billy Goat by grubbing one. Now, look, I know nobody wants to eat goat meat. This dude slammed 40 pounds of goat meat.
Oh.
Goat milk, sure. Goat cheese, absolutely. Goat chops, disgusting. Dude ate a goat.
Yeah, I am looking at a photo of him and some other competitive eaters, I guess, together with just a big plate of 40 pounds of goat. Now, Kobayashi, he can't possibly care about the Cubs, though, right? He just did this.
Right? Hey, exactly. What is that guy's connection to the Cubs?
Right.
Oh, no, I'm a longtime Cubs fan. I love them. No, he's a freak, man. He'll eat a goat if somebody will put him on TV or periscope him or stick a camera in his face because he's not what he used to be. And by the way, he's not the only problem. This guy eating a goat is sick, but any Cubs fans that think that that broke their curse are just dumb. Stop talking about curses and BS. Stop eating goats.
Yes, absolutely. If there's one takeaway from today's
goat, all right?
Kevin DeBean show, it's stop
Am
eating
I clear
goats.
About that?
I'm
That's
not sure.
That's what we're saying.
Stop
9 to noon,
eating goats.
AM 980 The Beast, our friend Jim Rome, 3 solid hours, and look for him on Showtime as well. Great to have you back. Great to be back. We'll do it again next week, Jim. Thanks for the time, sir.
Good talking to you. Peace.
Deny my dear.
love it when the songs end right as Allie is starting to try to tell us a story.
It's the best. It's, just,
it's blessed relief. Hey, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show here on a Thursday morning. We'll catch up with our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky just after 9, like we do. Ralph, I'm a little bit nervous, as I think I told you off air, about this phone topic, because I feel like it could be very sad and very depressing and very devastating. Do you share my concerns?
That. Didn't think about that. No, it's not going to be that at all. It's going to be fascinating because I always think the disintegration of a longstanding relationship is always much more interesting than the creation of one.
So we're talking about betrayals by friends and family.
Yes.
Betrayals by friends and family.
Putting self over others to the point where you will sacrifice a longstanding, presumably positive relationship in your life for selfish, selfish means.
Right. That's what we're talking about at 1-800-520-1067.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
That's not getting old, not even a little bit.
And but it's going to come right back around to being funny again.
Nope.
Here's why this story is on our radar and in the news is because actor Ryan Reynolds, who, of course, is the star of everything, Van Wilder, Deadpool, bunch of stuff, he has just had to break off a friendship with somebody that lasted 25 years. Not an acquaintance, one of his closest friends for 25 years, which for Ryan Reynolds is most of his entire life, right?
Right.
Apparently, his friend, Ryan Reynolds, was devastated to learn, was trying to sell photos of his newborn daughter.
Yes.
Ryan Reynolds and his wife, who's he, Blake Lively, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They shared photos, like you do when you have a baby, with their closest friends and family. It's a pretty narrow group of people that I would send photos like that to. They're just like my closest family and my closest friends. You know, like, here's us in the delivery room. I guess he thought he would never be caught. It's not really a conversation to have, he said. It's just, oh, well, now I'm never going to see you again or talk to you again. That's kind of how it worked out. So basically, he found out that this was the guy, and he just said, there's nothing else to say.
Yeah.
You betrayed me, and I'm cutting you loose. That's it.
That's such a freeing feeling when you just cut someone out of your life. It's wonderful.
Well, you certainly don't need somebody in your life, though, who's going to do this to you. You are better off without this person.
Much, much
absolutely
better off, I guess.
Kids are off limits. That's so shady.
Well, you mean sexually or just in general?
Yes, I do mean that as well.
All right, I didn't know what you were talking about.
Ryan Reynolds told, I want to say, Us Magazine that he had never experienced betrayal like that before. It was like death. It was like one of the most devastating things to find out.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Brutal, yeah. So that's the topic on the table at 1-800-520-1067. This is a real Frodo situation here where you can't believe this person that you would have trusted with your life is the person that turned on you, as Ralph pointed out, for selfish reasons, to make themselves look good, to get something, for money, something like that. Those are the calls we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, Joy, I think, is going to be up first. She's on line one. Let's find out what devastation happened to her that we can turn into entertainment for ourselves. Hey, Joy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey.
What's up, Joy? What's your story?
Well, my ex-husband, who was my high school sweetheart, had an affair for 3 years with somebody I knew.
See,
and
now
then
I didn't even think about affairs as being in this category, but
this
I guess
a different topic than I thought we were going to talk about, because I think with romantic relationships, it seems like there's a lot more likelihood for this kind of betrayal because there's a lot more parameters and sort of rules and regulations you got to follow to stay within whatever the social norms are of that romantic relationship.
Yes, and then he had a baby with somebody else across the country.
Well, he took it to the nth degree. He abused the privilege, quite frankly.
He really did. Yes. He makes the rest of us look bad.
He's
all right,
awesome,
Joy.
Isn't he?
He's awesome.
He's a good dude.
Hey, I just have to ask, and I think Ralph's right. I don't think this is exactly what we're looking for. We'll allow Joy, first caller, but we won't take any more affair calls. How did obviously it sucked and it hurt, but did you survive it and get through it? And now you're good again, or is it the type of thing you think that is going to have damaged you for life?
Nope, I will not be a damaged woman. I'm in a better place than I ever was, and have moved on.
Yeah. Her name is Joy. Come on,
it's not sorrow.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for the call, my dear. Appreciate you calling. Let's do one more before the break, and it's going to be Josh Roland Heights. He's up next. He's on line two. Josh, we're talking about bitter betrayals. What happened to you, sir?
Well, let's just say this. I'll start off by saying my grandmother had very good business acumen, and she had a lot of land. I have an aunt who forged her signature to get that land and sold the land.
Dude. That's like a soap opera thing. That's like soap opera evil.
Here's the kicker. My grandmother was quite happy before then. After then, she was depressed and probably died because of that.
So grandma was still alive when the ad forged the signature?
That is correct.
Sold the land out from under grandma?
Yes.
Screw your aunt.
What happened to her? Did she get arrested? Did she go to jail?
Well, here's the thing. This happened way back. This happened back in the day in the Philippines, and it's like uber corrupt there. So she's actually here in America living a happy life. But, you know, screw that. I'm not going to have a relationship with him.
All right. We need her address. We need to egg her house. I'm sorry. At a minimum, we need to egg her house.
Yeah. All right,
John.
TP2, exactly. Yeah, thanks for the call, sir. 1-800-520-1067. What ultimate betrayal happened in your life with your family and friends? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. How appropriate. We are playing all-time low right there, right in the middle of this phone talk about your betrayals, family and friends who betrayed you.
First of all, before we get into it, listener Matt has a question that I had, too. I was just wondering, what was the Frodo situation? Did Frodo betray someone? Did he take the ring away from somebody? Did they went up the mountain together?
Did I say Frodo?
You sure did.
And I let it go.
I don't know those movies that well. Maybe Frodo really screwed over Gandalf or something.
About Frodo from The Godfather.
That's a very different thing.
I heard Frodo and I was confused.
Frodo is a very famous betrayal from The Godfather.
I didn't know what Frodo had done to Sam, but I thought it would have been bad.
Completely unrelated.
Oh, well, that is confusing for all of us.
More of a Fredo moment, I think, is what we're looking for.
Let's
go to line one, please. Let's get Mike on the line. He's from Irvine, talking about betrayals. Those just joining us, we're talking about Ryan Reynolds, who just had to break up with a best friend, one of his very closest friends, after 25 years, because that scumbag tried to sell a photo of Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively's kid to the tabloids. Mm. And that's no good. Nobody wants that. Mike, what happened with you? What's your situation, sir?
Morning, guys. Howie. So I started a law firm with my old law school roommate, best friend. He was supposed to be best man at my wedding. About 3 years into it, I discovered he stole over $60,000 in about 4 months.
Ooh.
And effectively ended our friendship, the law firm itself, and screwed everything over. He cried to me after, but it made no difference.
That is unbelievable. How'd you find out? Just from bookkeeping?
No, because he cooked the books. The books are clean. Let's just say I got a copy of his personal bank statements and saw everything.
Said, hey, he's richer than me. How'd that work out?
How did that happen? I thought we're on the same side here.
I bet you money is the motivating factor for a lot of these people just being greedy.
Mm. And Mike, there was it like in the Ryan Reynolds situation where it was painful, but you knew it had to be done. There wasn't any room for you can't come back from that. You had to cut them loose, and it had to be for good, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I just can't trust him on a personal level, on a business level.
No.
And, I mean, he's my best friend, too. And so it not only business-wise, but friendship-wise. And so, I mean, no lifetime effects. I mean, I'm just not going to go into business with anybody else, and that's the problem that it causes.
Gotcha. Yeah. Great call. Thank you. Sorry you had to live through that. Appreciate it, though. Mike,
he's your own personal Frodo. That's who he is to you, man.
Andy is on line three. She's also got a best friend situation who betrayed her. Andy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Good morning. So my best friend, we lived across the street from each other. We both went to the same high school, college. We got hired at the same high school where we taught because we wanted to be around each other. And then we were up for the same promotion, you know, which usually wasn't a big deal because we'd always been sort of competitive throughout our lives. And I heard her, she had accidentally called me, and she was talking to the principal of our high school and was basically made up all these lies about me and said that I wasn't teaching the curriculum. She said this kid in my class got arrested for pot. She said that I gave him the pot,
So you guys were both up for promotions in the school, and your best friend lied to you and made it sound like you were a bad teacher so you wouldn't get the promotion and she would.
Yeah, it was like one thing where it was like, you know, I could see where she was just like, oh, you got to give it to me more than her, but she was just making up lies, like these ridiculous, unfounded lies that, like, you know, never, that came out of nowhere. And it was so...
Who got the job?
We both didn't end up not getting the job.
Do you still have to see her when you go to work at that high school every day?
I had to, for the last remaining of the school year last year, but
she had a baby over the summer, so she's actually on maternity leave right now. And then when she comes back, we'll probably have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen the baby. I haven't, you know, and I'm supposed to be the godmother.
Sad. That's sad. Yeah. Although you should give your students pot, though. That would be cool of you.
You don't give it. You sell it. Don't be
right?
foolish.
Oh, that's right. I've been dumbing. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go. Wow. Who do you like here, Ralph? We only have time for a couple more. Which one do you like? These are very sad.
How about Peter from Woodland Hills on line 6? There's someone slandering him, and I'd love to hear how that went down.
Peter, how welcome to the Catherine Show. Good. Thank you so much for calling. What happened?
Well, a friend of mine that I've known since, you know, I was a kid, he actually introduced me to my wife. At one of his birthday parties, and we used to hang out all the time. When he got married, you know, we used to party together all the time. And then when his wife had their first kid, they found God. I didn't know he was missing, but everything kind of changed, and he would sort of just come over to my house and you know, party sort of on the sly against her. And then I found out through other friends that on Facebook that they knew we weren't on. They were totally bad-mouthing me and my wife, saying we were horrible parents and, you know, they didn't want their kids around us because all we do is drink and smoke pot. Mm. But they'd have no problem inviting themselves over to go swimming at my house and hanging out, and, you know, whenever they wanted to come over. And when I had parties, they'd come over and had no problem being there, but behind my back, we were the horrible people.
Yeah. Facebook, I bet, has been the death of more friendships than
Absolutely.
Almost any other invention of the 20th century.
That's a really good yep. point. That's a, and it's and I want to make sure I understand, Ralph, because you've brought this point up before. It's not private, Facebook?
No. Not private at all. No.
People can see it.
People can
yeah,
read about it.
Yeah. That's tough, Peter. First grade, you know, friend since first grade, and then he turns on you like that. I'm
found
sorry.
Found Jesus?
That.
Sounds like he found Judas to me. Huh? Right, Peter? Huh? Who's with me?
I happily refer to them as the hippo Christians.
Yeah! Boom! Drop the mic, Pete.
Exactly.
How about
today in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock, 1 o'clock, Death Cab for Cutie, going to be performing live.
Woo-hoo!
All you have to do is tune in. You don't really tune into a website as much as you just bring it up in your browser or on your phone. KRock.com, Death Cab for Cutie, 1 o'clock today in the Red Bull Sound Space. Definitely, you don't want to miss that type of the showbiz beat now on a Thursday. Here's Ralph.
Oh, everybody excited about Saturday?
Woo! Saturday is...
Saturday!
Is what?
It's Batman Day. Hello?
Oh, huh. What does that mean?
Right?
Yes.
Where we all bat out.
Really?
Do the Batusi?
Nope.
Put on our cowls and capes.
Why?
Because it's Batman Day.
Why?
September 26, 2015, Batman Day.
Is that the is it the anniversary of the first issue of Batman?
Nope.
It's not. Okay.
Nope.
Is that Bruce Wayne's birthday?
I've been doing a lot of searching. I can't really find out why it's Batman Day, but I know it's Batman Day. And that's all you need to know.
Open up a blog.
Right, exactly. Someone suggested to me it's because it's the anniversary of the date that the Waynes were murdered.
Oh.
Thomas and Martha, Bruce's mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, well then, what better day to celebrate than the
right.
day his parents were slain by a gunman?
Yeah. The happiest day in young Bruce's life.
Right. But it is was the birth of the bat.
Okay. Do we get free stuff or is there... programming or commemoration, or is there something that people are doing for Batman Day? Or
I think you can buy some comic books and stuff.
Okay.
Look!
They should work on this.
You celebrate 12/7th Christmas or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Batman Day's a real thing, at least.
That you can't
sure
find
is.
Any concrete info on.
Stop it!
Okay.
You're ruining it! You're ruining Batman Day! It's very exciting. Speaking of Batman, good news for the Cape Crusader, a appeals court has decided that the Batmobile is worthy of copyright. It is a distinctive character in and of itself, said the judge about the Batmobile. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that, by the way. I think you are infringing on the Batman trademark if you make a Batmobile. I think that's fair.
That was the case indeed. This guy, Mark Towell, is making his own Batmobiles, his replicas of the Batmobile, and selling them to folks. And DC Comics came in and said, hey, that's kind of our thing, the whole Batmobile thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so his lawyer said, no, it was a a useful item. You can't copyright a useful item. For example, you can't hold the copyright on a toothbrush. You can make your own toothbrush. You can change it and make it unique and stuff. But then no one really, you don't have to pay someone to make a toothbrush.
Okay.
So they're saying there's a useful item, you can't trademark or copyright that. So this guy was saying, it's just a car. It's just a car like any other car. It's just a car. And this judge said, no, the Batmobile is special, not just a car. And it's Batman Day on Saturday, she added. All right, maybe she didn't, but... So, here's what she said in her statement, by the way, which I love. She used an episode of the Batman TV series from 1966. And she wrote, as Batman so sagely told Robin, in our well-ordered society, protection of private property is essential.
Wow.
So, reaching back. Reaching back to the OG Bat.
So they had a judge who obviously is a huge Batman fan to rule on this.
You don't know, man. Maybe she just did her due diligence and watched every single episode of Batman.
I'm Batman, bitches!
That's right. In our well-ordered society, protection of private property is essential. You don't know, man. Good news for the Muppet Show. Big numbers. 8.9 million viewers overall, despite being opposite The Voice and NCIS earlier this week. So, looks like the Muppets still draw. NBC's Blind Spot, also another new TV series that's doing very well for itself. Meanwhile, Fox's much-touted Scream Queens did not do as well in the ratings as it was expected. So, look, I'm thinking if you want to see a show like that, you go to the movies, right? Because they can do a lot of the stuff that you can't do in a series. So it's probably, if you're a horror fan or if you like that genre, it probably feels a little watered down to you, I think, when you're watching something like that, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Dave loved it.
Dave loved it?
Dave loved it.
Well, he's a 13-year-old girl.
It's true.
And Ariana Grande was in it. Mm-hmm. You know how he feels about her?
Sure do.
Oh, she has little kit ears and she wears when she sings. Oh, she's so adorable.
Ariana Grande?
Yeah, Ariana Grande? Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Hey, Muggs, can I give away the thing? Hey, Muggs, can I give away my thing now?
He yelled, yeah.
Was that a yeah. Okay. If only we had some way to get the voice on the air from the office into here.
Well, I'm in a different room. Like,
I know, but you could have told them to say yeah.
Well, they weren't helping.
You're not helping. Speaking of Saturday, not only is it Bat Day, but it's also K-Rock Microbrew Festival Day.
Yeah!
We are doing another one of our famous microbrew festivals at Santa Anita Racetrack. Happens on the infield, or in the infield, or around the it's infield adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
11 a.m. is when it opens up. First race starts at noon. You get to bet the ponies all day. You can drink, you can eat, you can listen to music. It is quite the event. You can also hang out with Dave the King of Mexico, Lightning, Super Steve. Chip is going to be there. Omar, Stryker. A bunch of the K-Rock jocks will be hanging out. If you'd like to go, then go. I'm not stopping you. But if you'd like to go for free, and not only that, get a four-pack of VIP tickets that include beer garden admission, concert admission, drink tickets, racing program, a tip sheet, a tote bag, all this can be yours. One winner right now. Caller number 11 gets it at 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 11 will win the special festival pack from the K-Rock Microbrew Festival. Easy, big fella. Today's celebrity birthdays, Nia Vardalos from My Big Fat Greek Wedding. She's 53 years old today. Former NFL player Mean Joe Green turned 69. Stephanie McMahon of the WWE is 39 years old. And actor Kevin Sorbo, Hercules himself.
Disappointed!
He is 57 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Ryan Kim from Los Angeles. Thanks so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show today. You, my friend, are going to go see Muse at Staples Center on December the 18th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Plus, you have access to the exclusive K-Rock after party with the band on the roof of the Ace Hotel. Got that for you all day today and tomorrow as well, so stick around for that. I was on vacation last week, so I missed the opportunity to talk to Dr. Drew, as we do on Thursday mornings about this time. Hey, Doc, how are you, man?
Hey, Bean, good morning. How are you?
Who have you had on the either the Love Line or one of your many radio shows that has been really impressive for you lately?
Kyle Dunnigan.
Funny. What's Kyle's deal?
Yes. You know Kyle?
No. Who is he?
He's a writer, comedian. He writes for Inside Amy Schumer. I just finished telling him. He was on the day before yesterday. We said, dude, you got to come in and fill in. In fact, you got to replace Mike. Forget Mike. We replaced him. And then last night we had a woman, Sarah, I'm going to forget her last name, who wrote a book called Blackout. Quite good, quite good. So we had a couple of good guests lately. You're right. Thanks for asking.
No, well, because here's the thing. You know, just like we're in the golden age of television, we're also in the golden age of podcasts, and no human has the time to listen to all the great shows that are out there anymore. So I pretty much cherry-pick based on guests. So hearing you say that those were good guests makes me want to seek out the podcast and find out what's up with them.
Well, and also at DrDrew.com, I interviewed Mark Maron. That was a good podcast.
I did hear that one. I did hear that one. That was fascinating. You got pretty deep into Mark's life. I really enjoyed that a lot.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you're on, Dr. Drew. We love having the opportunity to run stuff by you when it shows up in the media, especially when it has to do with medicine. I was watching the Republican debates last week, and Carly Fiorina, whose name I can never say correctly.
Nobody can. It's so weird. Something about the Carly with the Fiorina.
Fiorina.
I always want to call her Fiorini.
Yes, me too. I keep screwing up her name. She said something that really stopped me in my tracks on the debate, and I know it's right up your alley, so let me play this piece of tape, and then I want your comments on it.
I very much hope that I am the only person on this stage who can say this, but I know there are millions of Americans out there who will say the same thing. My husband Frank and I buried a child to drug addiction. So we must invest more in the treatment of drugs. I agree with Senator Paul. I agree with states' rights. But we are misleading young people when we tell them that marijuana is just like having a beer.
Okay, so first of all, do you know, doctor, what was the situation with her kid? Does she believe her kid used marijuana as a gateway drug and then got hooked on something stronger that ended up killing him?
I don't know the facts around her case. I believe it was her stepdaughter, but mm-hmm. I'm going to bet that's what happened. Let's break down this whole gateway drug nonsense. All right, let me just start something, chant what I've always chanted on your program and elsewhere, which is first and foremost, the notion that a drug is a good drug versus a bad drug is a horrible idea. There's no such thing as good drugs and bad drugs. There's just certain chemicals and how the human relates to them. In certain circumstances, it's good. In some circumstances, it's bad. Oxycontin, if you have pancreatic cancer, if you have a brain tumor, that's a good drug. It's going to relieve suffering. If you're an opiate or a heroin addict, you get your hands on Oxycontin, that's a bad drug. So, please, alcohol is a good drug. Alcohol is a carcinogen to every tissue in your body. So the notion of this one's good and this one's bad is completely ridiculous. It is ridiculous. And if people want to create laws, this is a land of the people where we create the laws that allow them to do anything. They should have the right to do so. So we just start with that. Now, in terms of the idea of a gateway versus a non-gateway, there really isn't such a thing as any sort of, if you want to point at a gateway drug, it's tobacco. I mean, that has historically been the gateway drug, or alcohol. I mean,
In other words, you don't find people who are abusing drugs who don't also smoke and or drink.
Well, if you want to just draw a line back to where a young person started using a substance that then connect the dots forward, well, there's the substances they usually start with. Now, trauma survivors, kids that have physical and sexual abuse, will very frequently start with pot, particularly in their early teens. If you see a kid smoking a lot of pot under the age of 15, I think trauma always. It's a kid who's unregulated and trying to find a solution, and pot, in quotes, helps them. The problem is the idea of that being the gateway, again, you already see it's confusing. Well, is it tobacco? Is it alcohol? Is it pot? What's a gateway? The thing about pot is that over time, the majority of people that use a lot of it, and by the way, you can tell if you're an addict to pot if you just freaking love it. You love it and you can't deal without it. You're doing it all the time. The very small percentage of people actually get addicted to pot. But when you get addicted, and let's say you're 15, you get addicted, the vast, vast, vast majority of those people, even if you start in your 20s, will eventually, the effects will wear off. They'll be unable to get high from it after several years, and they'll smoke a lot more to try to get it back again, or eat a lot more these days. And by the way, you know, the pot is a lot stronger, but that accelerates the decline into sort of a depressive state, and they look around in their environment for something to help them other get out of that state, and they usually switch then to something else. So it's not a gateway in the sense that, you know, you use this, you're going to use that. It's a much more complicated situation than that.
Now, do you have numbers? I'd be curious to know. I've heard that the majority of people who use marijuana never go on to try any stronger drugs. Is that what you found as well?
That's just like with alcohol. It's for sure the case. For sure. Every one of these drugs / chemicals needs to be evaluated singularly. In other words, each one is different. Alcohol is different than tobacco, which is different than pot, which is different than opiates. And we're seeing some things with cannabis that are kind of bothersome. particularly in teenagers, which even like once a week use, we're seeing they're reporting, and again, this hasn't been well substantiated, but they're reporting some brain changes that seem to be permanent. Now, are those functional changes also? We don't know, but it's a little more concerning than, say, a young person using everything's concerning with young people. I mean, I was just thinking to myself that if you want to pick a drug that has a horrible track record for young people, it's alcohol. Every single unwanted outcome, whether it's a pregnancy or an attack or a rape or a STD or a fight or an accident, you find alcohol. So, it gets complicated when you start getting into the weeds.
You would be far happier to find out that your girls in college were smoking pot than drinking alcohol, wouldn't you?
Well, first of all, I have two sons and one daughter, and I'm sure they're doing all of the above. They're, after all, young people, as we all, at one time or another, had to go do our thing.
Right.
I am not anti-substance use. You know what I'm saying? I'm here to help people that want to stop when they can't stop. That's when I like to help people. And I like people to make educated decisions about substance they use and to be able to identify when they're in trouble and get to help when they need it. So I'm not anti-substance. People, you're putting me in the bummer category again, Bean. That's where I always end up.
I was just curious. I'm just curious. Because it sounds like, look, I read the police blotter every week in my local newspaper.
That's weird.
You're right, though, Doctor. 90% of those arrests and those fights and those domestic violence and everything, 90% of them seem to involve alcohol. You very rarely see people getting into those kinds of trouble on pot.
No, I mean, just think about the sort of the characteristics of somebody who's stoned. That's not somebody.
Right.
Well, you want to run into three guys who are high or three guys who are hopped up on alcohol. I mean, if you're in an alley somewhere, I'll take the stoners any day. So it's complicated, guys. And so to make sweeping generalities about pot is a huge, huge mistake. It's more complicated than that. And by the way, why shouldn't the people of this country be able to make whatever law they want? If that's what they want to do, then the medical system will accommodate and deal with whatever the consequences. The thing we are dealing with now that we didn't expect is they're giving such highly concentrated edibles that we're starting to see psychiatric symptoms. I didn't expect this. Psychiatric symptoms that are really pretty nasty from people taking too high a dose, too high an amount of pot.
So marijuana is much stronger than it was when you were coming up, Dr. Drew, on purpose. That's because we're trying to grow it that way, right?
Yeah, when we would buy a lid back in the 60s, a lid. That's how they sold pot back then. Kroll and I used to laugh about that. Yes, back when I started working in addiction medicine, we used to always say, well, it's 10 times stronger than it was when we were in college. Well, now it's off the chain. I mean, yes, they are messing with the chemistry, the botany of this chemical, and coming up with all kinds of interesting things. One day, hopefully, we'll have CBDs that will have really probably some very substantial medical application. But in the meantime, they're messing around with the intoxicant properties, and it's getting a little intense.
See, kids, you grew up in the golden age of buying marijuana because
very
it's
lucky.
Better than ever. All right, we know you got a dog to go deal with. The podcasts are available at drdrew.com or podcast1.com. You can listen to Loveline with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood 5 nights a week here on K-Rock. Look for him in the afternoons on KVC. And Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Thursday night 6. Thanks for the time, Doc. Do it again soon.
Anytime, guys.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Mr. Trump, if you can point out that she has had some bumpy business roads.
Carly Fiorina has had some bumpy business roads.
Isn't that true of you also with all the bankruptcies that you've declared over the years? It just seems like you're the kettle calling the pot black.
Not the pot calling the kettle black.
However that expression goes. Come on, Donald.
That was A Moment with Bean.
I was trying to get Donald Trump to save me there. That's what was happening.
Come on, Donald. Yeah. Come on, you. Don't worry about Donald.
No, I accept your score. You would think Kevin's out for the week. Maybe we would slow down on the moments with. But I would like to say I've picked up the pace.
Yes.
Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning Kevin Bean Show. What's new? What's going on? What's happening? What's the latest?
Maybe somebody has to screw up on this show. Maybe there's some sort of curse on the show that if you just take one person out of the equation, that the forces that be must find balance in the universe, and so they force us to sound foolish.
Something's going on.
Maybe Kevin's actually taking a bullet for all of us, being the lightning rod.
That's a very good point.
We need Kevin.
We need Kevin.
Who thought we'd ever say that?
We need him to be the conduit through which all badness flows.
He'll be back on Monday. Oh, is anybody missing next week, or are we all here next week?
Okay. I think we're all here next week.
Okay. All right.
Is that all right with you?
Yeah, that's my preference.
All right. Congratulations, Usher. He got married to his longtime girlfriend, Grace Miguel. Us Weekly.
She's a farter and a racist.
She's not! She's a lovely, lovely woman. Us Weekly reports that the pair secretly tied the knot before hopping a plane to Cuba for their honeymoon over the Labor Day weekend. Ah, that's sweet. People can go to Cuba now.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I suspect we'll be hearing a lot more about the vacation industry taking over and probably ruining the island of Cuba.
Ruining?
Probably.
They're going to ruin all those rusting out 1950s cars that are laying by the roadside and all the poverty and unhappiness?
Look, I'm just saying that all of that overwhelming amount of change of place that is a closed-off ecosystem for decades and all of a sudden it's thrown open to the world, I'm sure there are going to be some negative repercussions to the country.
Negative repercussions versus ruining it are two different extremes.
Well, I'm just saying, if nothing else, the influx of all those people is going to
bring money and jobs.
Well, I mean, I hope so. I hope so, yeah.
I had no idea you were such a Cubophile.
I am.
You have an extensive history. Do you visit often? Are you familiar with the ecosystem there in Cuba?
I'm just saying.
Where did this passion for old-timey Cuba come from? What was this on your list of enthusiasms?
Look, what I'm saying is...
How can it be anything but good for them to get an influx of hard, cold American cash?
Well, for starters, they'll probably be exposed to tons of new diseases, for instance, that they haven't had to worry about in the past because they haven't had people traveling from around the world who are bringing the Ebola and bringing the AIDS and bringing the monkeypox and bringing the bird flu and bringing all the other stuff that they haven't had to worry about.
We're not,
now all of a sudden they're going to have all these foreigners.
Giving them a bunch of blankets with smallpox on them. They're part of the world, you know.
They haven't been part of the world. That's my whole point.
Now, America hasn't been traveling to Cuba, but people from many other nations have been back and forth for generations.
I'm just saying we're going to
somehow... They don't live in a bubble. It's not under the dome.
We're going to screw
Canadians
it
could go
theater.
There. Europeans could go there. A lot of people went there.
Well, none of those people have diseases like we do.
That's right.
We're dirty people.
Americans are filthy.
I'm just saying.
You're a madman. You are a madman.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
You sound insane. Nuts. Right now, you're a lunatic. Do you copy? Over.
Wow. Wow.
My head's going to explode. I don't like it.
I think we should ease into the visiting, is what I'm saying.
This isn't an infectious disease ward. We don't have to go in hazmat suits and collect all the monkeys.
I think we should be stepping lightly, is what I'm saying.
Based on what?
Based on just feelings. Just feelings.
Based on Cuba feelings. This is the craziest conversation I've ever had with Bean, and I've been here a long time around a lot of crazy.
Hmm.
Got Cuba feelings.
That's a good point.
I'm concerned about.
Just
you're
having some pizza and learning about Cuba.
Losing your
all.
Mind.
I'm just saying.
All right, let's carry on.
Allie, you're with me, right?
No!
Because you're not making any sense.
God!
To anyone.
I need to ease into it.
Send like one person over there for a while. See how that goes.
There you go.
Mark Burnett and Roma Downey. They're a very powerful.
Don't tell me they're breaking up.
No, they're still very much together. But you know, they're part of the God Squad. You know, they don't just vote people off the island and send them on amazing races. They also crucify people. No, they don't. Yeah. They love to rejoice in all things faith based. They had that Bible miniseries. Remember mm-hmm. that?
Did
very
well.
Successful. Yeah.
Now they've got a football drama called Woodlawn.
Mm.
Yeah. And apparently it's going to be very feel-good and religious-y. And Sean Astin, who you may remember from another little football drama called Rudy, mm-hmm. will be the star along with John Voight, who's almost as crazy as Bean. So there's a lot of things going for that film. But they just announced the cast, and it's going to be out soon. So
I like that Mark Burnett.
I do, too. I'm glad he's doing more motion pictures.
Saw him on the Emmys the other night to win him for The Voice.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah. The Voice beating out Amazing Race for a change.
Said it's our turn.
Yeah.
Our little friend Carson Daly down the hall has an Emmy now.
Yes.
And our other little friend Chris Hardwick now has an Emmy.
Everybody's got one.
At Midnight Show, too.
Damn, out like candy over there. Everybody gets one. Speaking of reality television, Big Brother season 17 ended last night. I got some angry tweets from people who said, I hadn't a chance to see it yet. You ruined it. Spoiler alert. So I'm letting you know now. Spoiler alert. The winner was Steve. That's all it says here in the press release. Steve was crowned the head of household after Vanessa was the ninth jury member, leaving Liz or Steve to win the final prize. And Steve is your big winner. So if you
had Steve.
If you had Steve in your office pool.
Yeah, you did good.
You're cashing in today. All right, it's time for us just to go home.
Seriously.
I can't wrap my mind around the Cuba talk.
It's a communist.
Stephanie McMahon is 39 years old today. A lot of people saying there should be bells ringing.
Yeah, we discussed that in the lab, and we decided she's...
Is the lab in Cuba?
We decided that
you don't have a lab? There's nobody having a discussion with you.
Go to commercial.
She comes in under the bell
All right. Level. Okay, people, you heard it. I tried to be your advocate, but Havana Joe up there said that she's not worthy. So Fidel Beanstro wants you to know that she does not get a bell. Because in a communist country, apparently, you don't have to listen to other people. You just do whatever you want when you're a dictator.
Exactly.
Mean Joe Green, 69. Nina Vardalos turns 53 years old today. And actor Kevin Sorbo is 57. Kevin, how are you feeling after that conversation with Bean about Cuba?
Disappointed!
Yeah, I think we all are. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. I agree with you. I think it's time to put a lid on this one. But we're going to come back tomorrow, and we're going to try again, and we're going to be better.
Nope.
Okay? A couple of very fine, very funny actresses on the program tomorrow. Kristen Schaal is going to be stopping by. Last Man on Earth, of course. And also, I don't know if you heard this or not, but Stephanie Beatrice, Ralph, is going to be here. She plays Rosa on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
And Sofia Vergara's sister on Modern Family. Brilliantly talented
actress.
Is that
a fact?
Yes, it is.
How about that? We also have Isaac Caldiero. You may not know the name. He is the man who just conquered the American Ninja Warrior course. He is the only one who was able to beat the whole course. What?
You barely got that out. American Ninja Warrior.
You from Massachusetts? Adding those...
Petridge Farm, remember?
I have a great idea. Let's get some tuner.
We're those ninjas. Get a Ninja Warrior here.
It is also the movie beat, and our friend RJ Bell is going to be on from pregame.com with his picks for the NFL. That's all tomorrow, right here on K-Rock.